It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thorat and Mary Jo Foley are here with their first show of the new year. They'll talk about what's coming up for Microsoft, what 2014 meant to Microsoft. Lots of interesting rumors. And Paul is about to make a very big announcement. Let's shave his head. No big deal. All coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 395, recorded January 7th, 2015. The Clippening. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, and IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills and knowledge up to date. IT Pro TV offers engaging courses streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. Go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. And by HipChat Plus. Collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat Plus is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of HipChat Plus at hipchat.com/Windows Weekly. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with one click. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. All right, we're ready to begin this fine program.
Leo, a couple of notes.
Mr. Thorat, you have the floor.
I stupidly agreed to shave my head with Twit.
Yes.
Reached 60,000.
I wasn't, Paul, I just want you to know, I wasn't going to bring it up.
All right. But here's the problem.
Yes.
My kids are very excited that this is going to happen.
Oh, I bet they are.
So excited that they have decided to come on the show today and shave my head.
What?
When they get home from school.
Oh. Which is when?
So it's in an hour.
So sometime in the middle of the show, your hair is going to fall off.
Yeah.
And Mary Jo's enjoying this, I might
add. I'm kind of loving this.
The sheer level of enjoyment that I'm getting from everyone who knows about this is alarming.
Paul, you have a nice head of hair. Are you sure you want to...
No, I really don't, Leo. That's the thing. And it's cold here, as we noted. I don't know that I want to go that deep.
Don't, you don't, you know what? Okay, I'm going to say this right now. You do not have to get rid of it all. You can get a nice... You would actually probably look pretty good. Yeah, go with a four.
Go with a four.
You don't have to go.
I don't think a four will be acceptable to my children. Plus, they're going to do a terrible job because they're, you know, they're going to be idiots about it. But by the way, actually, let me ask you a question because this is actually something I really do need to know.
Yes. I am now an expert, so go right ahead.
Looking in the mirror later. No.
it's horrible.
Is it possible to just cut with the razor or the shaver or whatever?
No. You need a clipper.
Yeah, see, we don't have a clip. Well, a clipper, you mean like a...
Like, you know, like a hair...
Blades with the sizes.
Yeah, you need a hair clipper.
We do have that.
Oh, perfect. That's all you need. And do you have the different 0, 1, 2 size? Yeah. That's all you need. Do not do what I did. That's not required. In fact, the chat room is ecstatic. They're saying, you are a man, you're a mensch. They do say if you don't go with the number one, you're not shaving. But don't listen to them. I listen to them, and look what happened to me.
I'm thinking one on the sides, two on the top.
Perfect.
You know, but I'm going to need some wifel help on that one because my kids are going to be incapable of doing this correctly.
Well, that's why they're gleeful.
My daughter has been giggling like a Bond supervillain, actually, since she found out that this was happening.
This is exactly why they're gleeful. You understand.
She's usually very quiet.
They're so happy about this.
Just cackling, Leo. You're going to witness this. You'll see.
You know, my children were horrified, but I think they were more horrified by the tattoo than the head shaving.
Oh, did you get the tattoo? Where's the tattoo?
I think you look good bald, by the way. I think you look really good.
I don't think good is the word.
I do.
Acceptable.
I think it looks good. No,
thank you. You're so kind, Mary Jo. Nice.
You have a wide range of wig possibilities that are available to you now.
I can be Pitbull. I can be, there's a whole huge number of things I can do. I can be Slash, or I was Harpo on iPad today. By the way, just a brief explanation, because there will be people coming into the chat room and say,
what happened? And and because not everybody knows, we had a wonderful 24-hour marathon for a New Year's. Really, it was a telethon because we were raising money for UNICEF in the grand old Jerry Lewis tradition. We raised $75,000, which is a mind-boggler. I mean, remember, this is not NBC. This is a podcast, my friends.
Sure, sure.
$75,000, the very generous Twit audience. It was a lot of fun. Paul was in studio with us. Thank you for coming out. You and Stephanie endured the worst meal I have ever had at our host dinner.
I described it as eating dinner at the bar from Roadhouse.
Yeah, only worse.
Well, what happened at the dinner?
We thought it's my fault because we could have gone to a nice.
Leo, stop. Listen, everyone got together. It was great. Nobody cared about the food.
It was fun.
And I did eat the steak and didn't get sick.
The steak was actually okay. It was poor Stephanie who got the shrimp and ate. Ate none of it.
It was prawns.
Oh, which is Lord. Like,
the scrod.
It was not only prawns, but it was deep fried prawns. But you know what was fun about the host dinner is I have never seen, and I'm sorry you couldn't be there, Mary Jo, although Mary Jo did a great beer segment on the broadcast, which we just all loved.
It was really fun.
But I am sorry you missed the host dinner because, A, you would have seen vegetables that have been around since the turn of the century. These are old Roadhouse.
Yeah, they were historic.
Old Roadhouse vegetables. There's Paul. Looking at his plate with some...
Oh, no, I'm the only one eating. You'll notice...
You are actually eating.
I ate the meal.
Everybody's talking. It looks like Mike Elgin's wife, Amira, has actually got her hands folded so she won't eat the food. Renee Ritchie, too. Look at your wife, Stephanie. That is horror. That's a sheer look of horror.
That's not a good face.
Yeah, she didn't know what she was getting into.
I really apologize. But no, there's Jeff Jarvis.
Stop it. It was good.
Everybody looks like they're having fun.
It was so much fun. And to see everybody in the same room. And we were at a classic Petaluma location. I thought it'd be fun to do something a little different, which was our Roadhouse. It was 1859. It was the stagecoach stop for Petaluma. But apparently some of the vegetables had still been, from 1859 preserved and put on a plate. I don't know if we could really see what this was.
I was waiting for Wyatt Earp to burst into the room at some point.
And I like the plastic glassware. I think they were afraid we'd steal their cups.
Yeah. And look at me getting along with Jeff Jarvis.
Yeah.
You know?
You're having fun.
Yeah. No, it was a good time.
Jeff brought his son, Jake. Yep. And there's Steve Gibson and Lisa.
By the way, Gibson is the Riddler of our universe. He is like the prankster.
Well, you know what? Everybody loved the round table. Were you in on that, Paul? I think you weren't in yet. But we had Randall Schwartz, Jeff Jarvis, Steve Gibson, and Renee Ritchie did a roundtable. Yeah. Everybody loved.
It was really good. I watched.
Oh, did you see it? And then the beer segment with Mary Jo doing some sort of strange teabagging thing.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Unbelievable. So it was a lot of fun.
I made an oatmeal cookie stout on the air.
She was making stout. And,
it's in the carboy fermenting right now. So
can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait. So,
why not get Dick out there though? I don't understand. He comes in from New York. Why doesn't he come to the place?
Who?
Dick DiBartolo?
No, he didn't fly out from New York. He stayed in New York.
No, that's what I mean. Like, why didn't he come?
Oh, because he was going to CES right after.
Oh. I see.
A lot of people didn't really want
it. He would have been a big part of it, I think. He still was,
We only missed a few hosts. Gina Trapani couldn't make it. Dick DiBartolo couldn't make it. And Mary Jo couldn't make it. But almost everybody came.
I tried to convince Mary Jo to come, but I hope she comes next year.
It is so much fun.
I know. I was just so tired of traveling.
No, I completely understand. It was not an obligation.
No. My mom watched the show live for the first time.
What'd she think?
She said she kind of knew who was who, which was funny. Yeah. And then she said the beer segment was very educational. My mom doesn't drink beer. So she was tuned in because she knows I like beer, but she didn't understand anything about craft beer. So
I'm still blown away by that Belgian you brought. That was
great.
Amazing.
Right? Yeah. Ooh. Anthony and the Tanya bought that. Yep.
Yeah. The
Belgian triple.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Anyway, in the process of raising the money, We set some stretch goals for ourselves because we thought we'd only make about 20,000. So that was our initial goal for the entire 24 hours.
I was counting on that, Leo. I got to be honest. You know? Truth be told, I was hoping you didn't make that.
So, you know? So Jeff Jarvis said, I will shave my beard of 42 years. He hasn't shaved since 72. Of 42 years, I will shave that if you make 20,000. We did. He did. This is when I got carried away. Sarah Lane said, for 30,000, I'll sing my least favorite song in the world 1 week by the Bare Naked Ladies. She did. So this is where I got carried away. I said, well, if we make 40,000, I will shave my head. We
did.
I didn't
know about the Sarah Lane thing. I might have chosen a slightly different goal.
There were options. I maybe should have been more clear. Shaving wasn't the only option.
I think someone looked at my head and said, you got to go with this one.
I feel bad. Well, anyway, and so then at 50,000, I got a tattoo on my behind.
Oh, and I see. And was it the Twit Lisa tattoo we were discussing?
It is. Well, yeah. but you know,
is there a photo of this somewhere in the internet?
Uh huh. On Facebook. Well, but she was talked out of the Lisa by many of the people, including the tattoo artist, who said, "Your first tattoo should never have your girlfriend's name in it." It is like
actually,
being on
I
the cover of.
When this had happened, I would have insisted that Paul also be added to the tattoo.
I should have had all the hosts. I would have done that.
Just let us all sign it with the tattoo.
We would have been there all night.
Whatever that's called.
Anyway, that was. So it's only a little one, and I got that. And I never wanted one in my life, but I have one now. And then Paul really was game. He said, well, for $60,000, I'll shave my head. We made $75,000.
Jumped right into it.
I'm so glad. Somebody in the chat room was saying, if we get 70, Mary Jo should shave her head. And I was like, yeah, I should. But then I was like, no, I'm not going to agree to that. Thank goodness, since you hit 75.
Everyone's going to think I have cancer now.
By the way,
no,
Lisa
Paul,
says, we're never. You can sneak into things?
Sneak into things like Microsoft things.
They won't recognize you. Get a big, bushy, ZZ Top beard, and they'll think you're some crazy mountain man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll wear a bandana.
I understand suddenly the do-rag. I understand all of the fashions that people wear these days. I suddenly get it. They're all wearing hats because they're freezing. It really makes sense. So anyway, thank you, Paul. And at some point, your children will arrive.
Yep.
So I'll tell you why I ended up shaving, because Lisa did it with
they botched it terribly.
That's what happens. Lisa did it on the air at midnight.
That's what's going to happen to me.
And it looks so horrific. That I went to the barber shop and I said, can you fix this? They said, yeah, but it's going to take it. We're going to have to take it all off. So I thought, well, I'm not. When am I ever going to do this again? So I had her with a straight razor.
Year, Leo, so.
No, Lisa's already said no. No. Mary Jo can shave her head next year.
Right. Yeah, I might.
No.
Maybe I'll get a hop tattoo or something.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Get your favorite hoppy beer. Just iHeart IPA.
There we go. Yeah.
So anyway, thank you so much for participating. Thank you, Paul, for you know, giving your all. Thank you, Mary Jo, for that great beer
giving
segment.
Your all air.
And we raised we should all be very happy. We raised a ton of money for UNICEF.
Mm-hmm. Really, I wish I could be happy, Leo, but that's great for you guys.
Your kids are happy, and that's you should be. Your kids are happy.
Like, you're going to see how happy they are. It's so messed up.
They're gleeful.
Yeah, it's not how I want my children.
Is that why you call this Samson and Delilah?
Huh?
Yep.
Huh?
Wait a minute. Whoa, I just saw those notes.
Yep, there's more, Leo.
OMG, we've got a big story, big, big story coming up from Paul Theriot. I'm shocked. I'm going to do an ad before we do that.
Okay.
Because this is something you're going to want to stay tuned for, kids. And don't fast forward. That would be wrong. That would be like eating your dessert before you have your vegetables. As long as the vegetables do not come from the Washoe house, they're probably okay.
I asked them if they were seasonal vegetables. They didn't seem to know what that meant.
They were puzzled by the whole thing.
Seasonal?
You know, we had eaten there a couple of years ago, and it was actually quite good. And I thought it would stay that way. But apparently they got out of the business of feeding people. The best part is, and every host came to me, you go in, the bar's on the first floor where we were is on the second floor. You go in, the bar is such an old bar, everybody knows everybody. They look at you.
It's worth pointing out, the bar there is fairly spectacular.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get any crazy good beers there or whatever. But
oh, God, no.
That's a cool place.
If you like Coors Light, you're in the right place.
In fact, when we walked in the door, the woman looked at us and immediately recognized that we didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And said, oh, are you here with the party?
Everybody had that experience.
And I really wanted to stay.
Well, we went to the bar afterwards. Here's Lisa reaching for some of that money on the ceiling.
Yeah, which I don't think is why that's there.
You said if this bar were in Boston,
it would all be gone. Exactly.
People would say, here's your tip.
The money would never last.
It was so much fun. And I apologize for the horrific food. But
seriously, don't worry. That was
the event itself was great. I mean, next time we'll do something.
So I told Mary Jo the story briefly, but honestly, the neatest thing about it was we kind of it's weird who you kind of are with, you know. So I sat next to Mike Elgin, you know, that's not very strange. Elgin and his wife, and who was really nice.
Love Amir.
But then, you know, I'm talking to Jeff Jarvis, who I never talked to, Denise Howell. Tanya, who I'd never met in person,
right,
you know,
right.
And it was just nice. It was a nice little, you know, it was just not the way you might have assumed we would break down into groups, you know. It was nice.
I agree. And that was part of the real fun. And just seeing everybody all together, what a neat thing that was.
Yeah.
So, a big announcement coming up. I never started the show, so welcome for those of you who just...
We've actually been doing it for 35 minutes.
Wandered in. We've been doing it for 35 years, it feels like. Welcome to Windows Weekly. That is Paul Theriot. She is Mary Jo Foley. Mary writes at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul currently is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. But first, before we continue on, I want to take you on a little trip to a place we call IT Pro TV. We love those guys at IT Pro TV. Tim and Don, who created this, blatantly say they stole everything I ever did. They stole from me. They decided to copy what we did at Tech TV and Twit and make it available for people who are interested in learning IT or getting better at their jobs or perfecting their business. They stream live 30 hours a week, just like Twit. They've got a live chat room during the conversation, just like Twit. But the focus is on the certs. Apple, Microsoft, Cisco, the A-plus certs. In fact, that's what they're teaching right now. Look, they're showing the iFixit Pro Toolkit. That's so funny. It's kind of a weird sponsor combination here. Yep. And... they also do Security Plus, the new ISC squared stuff.
Let me put these screws back in.
So they're going to show, I guess they're showing how to fix a netbook. A-plus is kind of like the IT, you know, the fix-it guy stuff. MCSA, CISSP, Linux Plus, covering topics like network security, Linux, Windows, OS 10 support for desktops and servers and more. And IT does not have to be boring. It's fun. The hosts are telling engaging stories, sharing experiences, increasing your retention. This is so much better than a book or a technical degree program. And even if you are doing that, this is a great way to learn at your own pace. And by the way, anywhere, laptop, tablet, phone, even they even have a Roku channel, which is awesome. They've got the virtual machine sandbox lab environment for hands-on practice. You don't have to have a Windows machine. Any HTML5 browser, including a Chromebook, you can launch an instance of Windows Server, a couple of clients. Mess things up, no problem. Just restart. Measure up practice exams also included for $79. No, they're free. They're $79 value. So normally $57 a month or $570 for the entire year, you learn. Take a look at the course library at itpro.tv/ww. There's a guided tour, sample episodes. You can see how well-produced these are, how fun they are to watch. And you can see all the courses they've got and new courses coming all the time. And if you sign up for a year, you could download full episodes DRM-free for offline consumption. Corporate and group pricing also available. Clients include Hewlett-Packard, the University of California, San Diego, Penn State, Stanford, many schools, colleges, as well as groups that support our military. Tim and Don are great guys. Check out itpro.tv/ww and upgrade your brain with the most popular IT certifications recognized by employers. And now you're also going to get a free 7-day trial when you sign up using our offer code. That allows you to check out their courses, live stream, and more. And Tim and Don have said to me, we make it easy to cancel. Don't worry, you're not going to feel stuck if it's not working out for you. Or Better yet, if you pass the exams, got the great job, you're ready to go. Now, with the WW30 code, you're going to get 30% off your subscription, not just for the first month or week, for the life of your membership. That's less than $40 a month, $400 for the entire year. And once you reach your 13th month, they're going to reduce your subscription even farther, bringing your cost down to $24.95 a month, $249 for the entire year. IT Pro TV rocks. We love it. You will too. Go to itpro.tv/WW. Don't forget the offer code WW30. Just try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off. itpro.tv. We thank them for their support all last year and this year too. They're here for the duration on Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, you've got a big announcement. Go right ahead.
I bought a Lumia 930 today, Leon.
Holy camoly, I can't believe it. What a shock. What did you bring with you?
I have slightly bigger news than that, I guess.
All right.
You know, as people who listen to this podcast probably know, for the past 15 or 16 years, I've been writing Super Safe Windows and working at Penton, which is the company that bought the company that originally bought that website from me.
Wow. So you started it yourself and then sold it and then somebody else bought it.
Yeah. Well, someone bought the company that bought
you. Right.
They bought me. Yeah,
right.
Yes. I was bought and sold like a piece of produce. it was kind of a difficult decision, but I recently decided to leave the company, which means I won't be writing at the Super Safe Windows anymore.
What?
And I left of my own volition. I wasn't laid off or fired or anything like that. The site has been very successful and has obviously done really well for me, but I'm moving on.
So Paul, I want to congratulate you. It's the best thing I ever did was to say I'm going to do it. I'm going to own it. Because that's right. Well, you're going to be owning
it,
right?
I'm going to co-own it, I think is the way to put it.
Oh, but Paul Thurrott. It'll be Thurrott.com?
Yeah, but it is at Thurrott.com, or it will be at Thurrott.com. And I don't want to give up too many details yet. My last day at my current employer is next Friday on the 16th, and then the new site will go live probably that weekend or possibly Monday or whatever. But
far out.
It will coincide nicely with the Windows 10 stuff that's happening that week. And you know, there's a lot going on here, and I don't want to take up too much of the show with this. I just would say that it's always hard starting over, but on the other hand, it's kind of nice to start fresh. And when you look at it from a fresh perspective, there's so much to suddenly write about because you literally are starting over from scratch. And so,
right.
Anyway, nothing bad to say about Penton. I had a great run there and worked with a bunch of wonderful people, and that was great and everything. But so I'm moving on.
Amazing. And congratulations. So, Thurrott.com. Of course, you're going to
keep it. Yeah, I know. It's just, by the way, quite a debate on the name because it's not a very easy to spell name. At least there are no Z's and C's next to each other.
Two R's, two T's. Once you get that, it's easy.
Sure.
And you're going to stay here, right? You're not leaving. Yeah, you're not leaving us, are you?
Oh, yeah. So I'm also, no. Sorry. No, of course not.
Shave his head, then leave the studio.
The final act will be to shave.
Drop the clipper and go, I'm out of here. No, and that's great because, well, can I just make a pitch? We'll continue to promote Thurrott.com. This is where you're going to be able to take all those people from the Super Cypher Windows, move them on over to Thurrott.com.
Yes.
And so we are real. I'm thrilled because I think everybody should do this at some point. And I know how scary it is. I look at Jason Snell and others who, from big media properties, but
also, a lot of people have been forced, by whatever circumstances to kind of move along, and I didn't want it to go down like that. I didn't see that coming, but I saw a lot of people that I really cared about, having to make changes kind of against their will with no, warning and with no preparation, and I thought, maybe I could pull the trigger on this one instead of having it be the reverse,
Good.
Not that I thought that was actually happening, but. Yeah. Anyway, it was hard, but
I'm sure it was. Sure it was. But I think this is the right thing for everyone. I'm very proud of you. Aren't you proud, Mary Jo?
I am.
Yeah.
It's important to me.
I think it's brave. When I left Microsoft Watch, I thought about taking my site on my own, but I chickened out and I went with ZDNet.
It's hard not to, you know, it's hard to turn down the regular paycheck. But these days, there's no thing in media.
Sure.
So might as well make the risk be benefit to you.
I did go kind of a middle ground. I'm partnering with a company and working for a company.
Never mind then. Forget it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing anything brave. I'm very clear about that. I'm not a hero.
I won't say any more until you actually make the move.
Yeah.
Because I don't want
to. No, I'm as risk averse as anyone. I mean, it's hard. So.
Yeah, well, you got a family, you got kids.
Yep.
But I think this is the time to go out for the personal brand, personally, I think.
I love to promote myself, so that's great, you know.
Yeah, you're terrible at it. But we'll work on
it. Weird.
We'll help you.
By the way, one last thing about this. I contacted my primary PR contact at Microsoft just to make sure this wouldn't be an issue. And I didn't describe in the email what the issue was. And she called me and kind of freaking out. And she said, you know, what's going on? And I said, well, I kind of explained the situation. And she said, oh, thank God. I thought you were going to become a lifestyle reporter or something. I was like, oh, no, I'm still going to write about Microsoft.
Good. Yeah. Although the lifestyle reporter thing, that's fun.
Did the shaving thing.
I thought you were going to go to maybe go be part of SB Nation, talk about sports all the time.
I could do that, too.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
I would just make fun of the Jets. It would be my primary function.
All right, so there's the big news, congratulations. All the best. Paul will continue to show up here every week. I pray. I count on that. And Therot.com, keep your eye peeled. And you know what's great? You already got the giant coffee mug as your brand.
Yes.
So keep up with the good work.
The shaving thing's good timing because I have to take pictures of myself at the new site, so this is good.
Did you see my passport photo?
That's actually one thing I was a little concerned about. Did you do that specifically because it was needed to be renewed?
No,
or are you worried about
it? I needed it to be renewed because we're traveling in the summer, and it's one of those things where it'll expire before I come back, and so I had to get a new one. And I could have waited till it grew a little bit, but it's not going to be. I just thought, I'll do this. You know, you're allowed to update your passport with a new picture.
You should get one of those little decal things. It looks like a head of hair, and you can just kind of stick it on top of it.
I'm wondering what kind of reaction I'm going to get at the
you just do this. When you have hair, you just say, see?
See? It's the same person.
Yep.
And my hair goes pretty far back, so I could even make it a pretty credible. Anyway. Yeah, so, wow, you're going to do that a little later on. Stay tuned, folks. The kids will shave Paul. Boy, is that brave.
I'm just worried. For many reasons.
If it doesn't work out, though, I'm telling you, the straight edge razor from a barber, and they put towels on your head, and it's so nice. I actually enjoyed that. But if you can,
I'm gonna have to turn the light off in the bathroom for the next month.
Oh, I scare myself every time I come around a corner.
Yeah.
They say I look like the hitman. I don't know what Paul's going to look like.
Hitman. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You guys didn't go to CES. Is there? Well, Microsoft doesn't go to CES, right? So there's no point.
Yeah. Well, we have experience, Leo. We know that.
We know better.
CES is a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mary Jo hates consumers, as you know.
No, I hate Las Vegas even more than I hate Call of Duty.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's the truth.
Wow, that much.
This is the scale.
You know. Passion. Yeah,
you know, Microsoft's there. They have a suite there, and they're having private meetings probably with OEMs there and all that. But they don't make announcements at CES anymore. They don't do the big keynote there anymore. So it's kind of like, why go?
Right.
Yeah. Actually, you know, my excuse for not going has always been that a lot of the stuff that they announce at CES doesn't come out until much later in the year. But actually, a bunch of the stuff they just announced is coming out this month. Yeah. So. You know, whatever. But I mean, I'm going to, you know, all the important stuff, I'll review all these products and it's no big deal not going. It's just, I just don't like the crowds and the messiness of it. And it would just, I just can't deal with Vegas during CES.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Time for mobile first, cloud first, Windows best. I see that headline, but I don't know what that means. Paul?
Yeah, so 2014 was the year of mobile first, cloud first at Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things Mary Jo and I both weathered during this entire period was the complaining from Windows and Microsoft enthusiasts that Microsoft was pushing other mobile platforms over their own. And so they improved and released Office on iPad, on iPhone, and then on Android tablets to the detriment of Windows. They never improved Office really on Windows. In fact, the Windows desktop client wasn't improved in any meaningful way for the entire year. And, of course, Windows Phone and Windows Modern, you know, Windows 8, whatever, has never been updated, actually ever, as it turns out. Okay, yeah, I get it. And it's not just Office. It's a lot of other mobile apps and things like that. But I understand that Microsoft needed to catch up on Android and iOS. I completely understand that. And I sort of defended that practice over the course of the year. And I would imagine Mary Jo did it in a way as well, just to be pragmatic about it. You know, it's logical and understandable why they were doing these things. Not to put words in Mary Jo's mouth, but it's 2015 now. And enough already. I mean, let's assume that these platforms are all roughly comparable. I mean, obviously each one will have slightly different features because of platform features that they can expose in the apps. And, you know, maybe this feature over here is a little better than this feature over here. But I would ask that Microsoft stop screwing over their most loyal customers and start providing updates to their own platforms as well, day and date with the ones that they're doing for other mobile platforms. It doesn't make sense for them to continue doing what they've been doing. It made sense for them to get caught up. But what I'm asking for is, it's 2015, you're caught up. Let's catch everyone up this year. You know, stop screwing over people who are stuck with Windows, or Windows Phone in particular, by just, you know, over-supporting these new things on other platforms. So that's my, I don't know, my my manifesto, or whatever you want to call it for 2015.
You agree, Mary Jo?
Yeah. Do you guys remember there was on Windows Weekly a few, maybe like 2 months ago, and I was like kind of being the Eeyore that episode.
Yes,
and I was saying, why would anybody use Windows right now? And I was kind of at the point, I think, where Paul is now then. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, you know, why, if they're doing everything first and best on Android and iOS, which is what it feels like right now, why would you even use Windows? And you know, what's happened to them is they had a lot of catching up to do on those platforms. And this is the big year, we believe, for Windows and Windows Phone and for Office. But it was that gap between when they were doing all this stuff on the other platforms and now that's gotten a lot of people really riled. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who are Windows Phone early adopters dumping the platform, and not just, you know, people who are journalists, but people who were very loyal users, some developers even, and saying, you know, I don't see why I should be on Windows Phone. They don't care. And I think Microsoft really does care. And I think we're going to hear a lot about what they're doing on January 21st at this big Windows event. But this waiting period, this lull between like fall last year and now, has been really hard if you're a Windows user. We're just
a lot of it's silence, right?
Right.
Just silence. I mean,
yeah.
One of the things that happened, I think, last week was Joe Belfiore took to the most logical place you would publish such a thing, a Chinese microblogging service, and talked about how, you know, don't worry, we haven't forgotten Windows Phone. And, you know, I love Joe, and I'm sure there was some reason why that had to happen there. But seriously, like, guys, you need to speak to these people who are freaking out. And they just, Microsoft has never done a good job of communicating. It's why Mary Jo and I still have jobs. But I mean, seriously, it's like so dysfunctional.
So you guys don't think it's over for Windows Phone? I mean, we're seeing now shrinking market.
I know.
I'm not really sure that that's actually the case. I mean, those numbers that you're probably looking at aren't from a source that I would necessarily trust. But the way I would think of it is more, it's not really percentage so much. We are still number three. There's no chance of BlackBerry bouncing back. There's no other platform, you know, coming up on the side. They are migrating melding Windows and Windows Phone together into a single cohesive platform. I think that's going to be very important. It will give developers, in many cases, a single target for apps that will work across PCs, tablets, and hybrids, and phones, and even the Xbox One over time, embedded devices and all that kind of stuff. I think that's great. I don't mean to suggest it's going to, you know, cause some explosion in phone sales next year or this year or whatever, but I mean, I think that stuff is important. For now at least, Windows, which is what we have to consider this thing, is too important to Microsoft for them to walk away from this market. And I still, you know, for whatever it's worth, I really did just buy a new Windows phone today. I mean, I love Windows Phone. And I have access to whatever. I have every modern phone device imaginable here. I could use anything I want. And I use and I choose and I spend my money on Windows Phone. I prefer it. And I think there are a lot of people like that. And Microsoft needs to give us a sign, you know, something. Hello. I mean, and, you know, who knows? January 21st or whatever the Windows 10 event is. Maybe that's the day. Mobile World Congress is coming up. I believe it's actually in March this year, not February. But whenever that happens, soon as well. There are things coming up. But I feel like they've let too much time go by where they've just been kind of silent, you know. Even at events like back in late August when I found out about the Lumia 735 and the 830 and some of the new accessories. You know, those are kind of low to mid-end devices. I asked explicitly about flagships and everything, and they're just not interested in talking about that. And I just don't think they understand the impact that that has on enthusiasts who are not interested in some low-end phone that's, you know, aimed at China or Malaysia or whatever, some country that they don't really live in or care about. And they want a flagship phone, and they want something they can show off to their friends. They want to be ambassadors to the platform. And, you know, Microsoft's making that really hard.
So. Yeah. I think the thing I'm really going to be listening for, especially on the 21st, I mean, we think we're going to see the operating system, the Windows Mobile operating system that runs on the low-end tablets and the phones, we think. Right. And we think we're going to get the code fairly soon after that event. But the thing I am most interested in, because we keep hearing them tease this, they keep saying, you know, what you're going to get as a Windows user is stuff is going to be better integrated on our platform than it is on these competing platforms. But we don't really know what that means, right? We think it means like, you know, Cortana gets embedded in a way that you could even speak commands to the browser, right? And you can't do that on iOS or Android. But they really need to show you why Windows has an advantage over the other mobile platforms. Because if it's just comparable, then there really isn't a reason to go with it. If it's better, then there is a reason to go with it.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of reasons not to go with it because the apps are all on iOS and Android.
Yep. Right.
Right.
You know, that's never going to change. You know, that's something they have to deal with.
I mean, they've got a mission this year for their developer evangelist team to go out in the field and really recruit developers, like from the very early stages, from students at a fairly young age, all the way up to the biggest developers, you know. They're going to go out and try to do that.
You may recall, I'd have to think back to get this date exact, but I want to say it was 3 years ago this week, roughly. The Apollo documents leaked, right, which became Windows Phone 8. And part of that stuff was that the initiative they were going to have that year to ensure that they close the app gap, that all the major apps that were missing would either happen because Microsoft convinced those companies to make them themselves, or they would commission third-party developers to create alternatives. And Instagram would be there. Instagram was one of the ones that was explicitly called out. We didn't get Instagram in beta until this past year, you know. And so I think they mean well. You know, I think they always have a plan. I'm sure they're, you know, they're smart people, et cetera. But, you know, it really hasn't coalesced. And I'm not blaming anybody, but... Yeah, I just hope for some changes here on the phone front, I guess.
It does feel like Microsoft might... Well, I guess the 21st means they're going full speed ahead.
Right, I know. I see talking, all these people saying they're giving up, but they're not.
But they're not, so...
Right. Yeah. they're building another operating system.
Are they giving up on the high end?
That's on the problem. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. That. So... I have to say, Microsoft is, you know, you find yourself kind of defending them on logic, right? I understand why Microsoft supported iOS and Android this year. I get it. You know, like logically, I can say I understand that. Microsoft turned to the low end of the market with Windows Phone. I completely understand that. That's where the growth is. That's not just where the next 1 billion users comes from. It's where the next 5 billion users come from. And you can make a very credible argument that anyone who's alive today that could afford and buy a high-end flagship smartphone has, and it's not Windows Phone.
Right. Know,
they're not, they're getting the iPhone 6 and they're buying the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 or whatever. That's what they're buying. They're not, Windows Phone is not part of the equation. I completely understand this. Like, I get it. But I, again, you know, sort of like the mobile first, cloud first, Windows best thing. You can't keep ignoring your most, what I would describe as your most important customers, which are your biggest fans, the people who evangelize your platform, because you're giving them nothing to evangelize with. I've been using Illumia 735 for the past few months. I actually just switched back to the 830 just to give that one another chance. But these are a low to mid-level kind of phones. They're not Snapdragon 800 plus processors. They don't have 2 gigs of RAM. They don't have, you know, whatever. Okay cameras, not spectacular cameras. It's tough. I'm a Windows phone guy, you know, so I pull out the phone somewhere and someone's like, oh, look at the cute green phone that Paul has. Isn't it? You know, did you borrow that from your daughter?
It's cute.
And it's like, you know, yeah.
So if you were Microsoft, that you would probably do exactly what you just described. I mean, there's no,
you have to do both. You can't ignore it. You know, I feel like 2014, you know, it's weird. They're the same thing. The mobile first, cloud first, Windows best, and Windows phone, same thing. They spent a year ignoring stuff that now they can afford to ignore for no more. You can't just ignore it. Right. Even if they release a 1020 or 1520 successor and it's a loss leader, I feel like that's the investment you have to make with this platform. You can't ignore the high end of the market. so...
One of the things we like to do on these shows at the beginning of the year is look back at the year 2014. We are looking a little bit ahead. We know we've got some big stuff coming up, Windows 10, June 21st, Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. But what a crazy year last year was. The CEO search, a new CEO. Can you kind of synopsize in 5 words 2014 for Microsoft? What do you guys think?
I think it was a year, and we've said this on the show a few times too, where everything you thought was going to happen, almost the exact opposite
right.
is what ended up happening.
Right.
You know, like Office for iPad coming out first, and then Office for Android, and no Office for Windows. Like nobody was really thinking that was going to happen. Then we started getting tips that was going to happen, and people were like, no, that's not going to happen. But it did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everything was kind of turned on its head. It's like, oh yeah, they bought Nokia's handset division. Then they laid off like most of the organization. They laid off half of the people they acquired through that.
Right.
I mean, nobody really thought that was going to happen. It was just one thing after another like that. Windows 10, even, I would say a lot of people didn't think Microsoft would go back and try to fix the things that were wrong with Windows 8 and make it more appealing to desktop users. But that is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy about 2014, even though it was a year of very much crazy changes and hard to predict. But I feel like, okay, they're getting back on a path where it seems like they're going in the right direction and being more realistic about what their strengths and their weaknesses are. Now, this year's the year they have to execute on a lot of the things they promised. And especially for, like we just said, for Windows users, Windows 10 has to be a really great operating system. It has to be a success. Office has to be even better for especially the touch first Office, I think, than Office on iPad and Office on Android, which are both seen as very good products. Mm-hmm. So they have some pretty big challenges this year. But last year, I'm happy about 2014. I think it was very tumultuous, especially if you worked in Microsoft. But I feel like they did some things they really had to do and that were very much overdue.
Agree?
Yeah,
Mr. Future.
Yep. Everything she said is right.
Yeah.
I agree with all of it.
In hindsight, it was, oh yeah, that made sense.
Yeah, it was.
We wouldn't have thought so, but now in hindsight,
well, you know,
given the strategy,
Satya Nadella came on board, and I think he's still in a kind of a honeymoon period. I also think, you know, this has certainly been acknowledged in various quarters. A lot of what he's doing was started under Steve Ballmer. I think people are a little overly euphoric about this guy, that it's not all him and everything. But like she said, basically, just to kind of change the words around a little bit, you almost have to put action to words now. I mean, 2015 needs to be more about making it happen, whereas in 2014, you know, obviously, Office for iPad happened and, you know, Windows 10 started and everything. But, you know, Windows 10 needs to be what I think it's going to be, which is great. Although I think we all have to acknowledge that it doesn't matter how wonderful Windows 10 is. Windows 10 comes into a world in which iOS and Android dominate. It's not, you know, they're not going to, you know, take back 50% of the market. I mean, it's not that world anymore. So it's almost, about just retaining customers at this point. You don't want to lose anybody. And I think they will succeed in that sense, that Windows 10 will be a great upgrade for Windows 7 users. It will be a great upgrade for Windows 8 users who have touch devices. I think it's going to be kind of a win-win there.
Good.
I'm really, you know, the thing I'm also really curious about this year is what happens with hardware at Microsoft, because we haven't heard anything about a new flagship Windows phone or almost any Windows phones. I mean, we think they're going to continue to roll out some low to mid-range phones, but we don't know anything, for example, about Surface, right? We think there's going to be a Surface Pro 4 sometime this year, but I wonder if they have to wait for Windows 10 for that, so that it's a more complete package and something that really takes advantage of new processors on the operating system. And if it does, you know, is Surface Pro 3 going to be able to continue to give them momentum on the hardware front? I mean, the piece of hardware I'm expecting that we're going to hear about this year, which isn't on a lot of people's radar screens, is the Perceptive Pixel big screen devices that, you know, they acquired Perceptive Pixel a couple of years ago. And late last year, Stephen Elop was quoted saying, "We're ramping up production of Perceptive Pixel." We haven't heard anything more about that since, but did that mean they're going to have some smaller sized touchscreen devices? You know, still big screen, but not 54-inch or 72-inch, something smaller and more affordable. That's kind of my guess where that might go. And is that also tied to Windows 10? And is that also tied to Office 16 and the touch-first Office? Right. That's going to be, for me, the piece of hardware I think will be the sleeper hit if they come out with something like that.
I wonder how much Satya Nadella is committed to hardware. I mean, all of hardware was Ballmer's doing.
Yeah.
He inherited it.
I wonder
it.
That too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And his strategy so much feels like software and
first
cloud.
The problem is by buying Nokia, they've kind of painted themselves in the box, right?
They're stuck. I mean,
If they hadn't bought Nokia, you could have made a wonderful argument that Microsoft doesn't need to make first-party hardware. You could just look at the CES announcements this week to see wonderful devices that are coming out. Wonderful devices. And by the way, devices that reach every possible price point, down from $99 tablets to gaming laptops that cost $2,400. You know, the whole range, it's all there. They don't need to be there. Problem is, if you do that on the phone size, that you just took away 95% of the market.
Right.
They can't not make hardware, you know, unless they're going to just walk away from Windows Phone entirely, which would be a $7.2 billion disaster, whatever it was that they bought Nokia for.
They bought them for the patents too, right? So
sure.
Really? So there's not a complete write-off, even if you close the Windows Phone part.
Yeah. Well. that's like saying
bad.
Only the garage burned down to the ground. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And even Xbox, I know they keep saying they're committed to staying with the Xbox and staying in that market. But, you know, the fact they unbundled the Kinect from it and then they dropped the price. And
well, they had to do all that.
They did. And they're kind of going back and saying now it's a gaming platform and it's not an entertainment platform. My question is, do they keep going that way and just make it a gaming platform and still stay, you know, straight ahead?
Like a flip-flopping politician. It is whatever you want it to be. Just please buy
one. It kind of is. Yeah. So I know they keep saying we're committed to it, but it feels half-hearted to me. I don't know why, but it does. And I don't feel like they've been definitive enough in saying we're sticking with the Xbox no matter what. And that's that. I don't know. I want to hear more. I want to hear that more definitively.
Interesting.
Or not, since I don't care about the Xbox.
Well, but hardware in general. Will they ever do any more RT devices? No, this 21st announcement is going to merge those things.
RT is another open question. That's, I guess you could argue that Windows Phone will continue running on ARM, and so technically that's the future of RT.
But that's RT right there. That's it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Right, which will probably be called Windows Mobile or something that is not Windows RT. We'll have a new name.
Has Surface been a success?
We don't know.
It's fine success, Leo.
Well, that's because Microsoft doesn't tell us how it sells, right?
Yeah. I would say, obviously, Surface Pro 3 has been very successful, especially within the confines of the Surface line of products. I mean, the sad truth is Microsoft doesn't need to make these products. I mean, as good as they are, I think Surface Pro 3, they hit a very nice sweet spot with just the form factor and the functionality, the power and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, this week kind of proves it. You just look at everything that's out there in the market. I mean, Surface Pro 3, if you think, or Surface, I should say, if you think about it, was a reaction by Microsoft because for years and years, they couldn't get what they wanted out of OEMs. And they said, you know what, we're just going to make it ourselves. And these things will be aspirational. They'll get inspired and they'll make good devices of their own. And now you can kind of look at what's out there in the market and say, you know, we really don't need Surface Pro 3 anymore or Surface anymore. I mean, really, as good as they are, they're not necessarily necessary. Yeah. You know?
I know. You know, I was just thinking about this week, too, because it felt like when they came out with Surface, they had to because everything else was so bad. But now,
that was terrible.
Once they dropped the price of Windows to zero on the smaller devices, suddenly you saw all this kind of new creativity and these new form factors from OEMs that were like, wow, where have all these designs
not just
come
cheap,
from?
But nice, like nice, inexpensive devices, HP Stream tablets and laptops, and all kinds of other devices. And you know, I would say across the line, I mean, a couple $100, $300, $500, $1,000+ this year, right now, in particular, wonderful choices at every segment of the market. That was not the case when Windows 8 launched. And that was Surface. I think, you know, maybe the first indication internally at Microsoft that Windows 8 wasn't going to take off was when all of their OEM partners were like, no, we're not doing that. That sounds crazy. You know, I mean, and they all basically rejected it. That first year and a half or year plus, not a lot of touch devices in the market. Remember, that was one of the big issues. You know, we kept saying, oh, you don't understand. Windows 8 comes alive when you have a touch device, you know. And no one did understand because no one was making them or buying them.
What a world, what a world.
Yeah.
It's fun because it's like a chess game. And what happened is it's like you had one guy playing the game right up until January of last year. And then another guy came in. And then all the strategies and all the moves are now in question.
Sure.
And is the other guy committed to this strategy? I don't know. He seems to be doing zigging when the other guy would have zagged.
Imagine, Leo, if Steve Ballmer had stayed at Microsoft and they did exactly the same thing they did this year. The reaction would have been a lot more negative than it has been, and it's still been negative.
Right.
In many ways, right? Hold on one second. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Very excited.
Uh-oh.
Very excited.
Uh-oh. The children are here, ladies
and
gentlemen.
They're gesticulating out there.
They're gesticulating. Do you want them to try? You want to? Okay, get prepare. We'll take a break.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
And you prepare emotionally, physically, and
I can't kiss my own hair goodbye.
It's the worst. I'm telling you, Paul, if there's any way you could weasel out of this, I would do it.
Maybe just half his head.
Geez, really?
No, you know, I tried to weasel out of it, and the chat room just held me to the flame. They held my feet to the fire.
You did milk it for a while there. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I was resisting is what I was doing, but I failed. And you see the result here on my noggin right now. All right. Well, while Paul gets ready, while the children come in with all the stuff, let's talk a little bit about a sponsor that we love. We've kind of discovered here at the Brick House, HipChat. HipChat came to us through our web design team, Four Kitchens. They use Atlassian and Jira because they're an agile house, and Jira is amazing. You've heard us talk about it. And they, as I said, well, okay, guys, I'll download your HipChat now because that's how we communicate with the team. It's more than just communication. HipChat is, of course, instant messaging, but also video chat, file, code, and screen sharing. It's kind of everything you want. It ties in to 57 other services like, you know, is my website down, all that stuff. And it's very easy to use on every platform. We've become such fans of HipChat. We started using it with Four Kitchens now. Engineering team, sales team, everybody's on HipChat. Plus, it integrates with all the big developer tools, not only Jira, but GitHub and Zendesk. HipChat's awesome. You can start chatting on the web. You can download clients for virtually every operating system. I use it on Mac and PC, but they have a Linux client as well. HipChat puts everything. It's you know, email isn't really the perfect solution for a lot of team communications. HipChat is great. I keep it on my phone, of course. So when people have questions, when they need a solution, HipChat's there. It's also secure, so you can bring clients, vendors, and other third parties into a HipChat room, and they see just the room, only what you want them to see. You have complete control. All the transactions are 256-bit SSL. So, you know, if Sony had been using HipChat instead of email, well, maybe they wouldn't be so embarrassed right now. It's completely customizable. Oh, and I love this. You can go back in time. So if one of the things you use email for is kind of this paper trail. HipChat's got that too. HipChat's easy to set up. It's fun to use, makes your team wildly productive, and is what we use everywhere. And we're not alone. There are a lot of people. And I have to admit, I paste the occasional picture and silly thing into HipChat as well. Expedia uses it. Dropcam uses it. Netflix uses it. Intuit, Fitbit, Salesforce, and yes, the entire Twit brick house. Get your team on the same page in seconds. We're gonna let you try. You know, you can use the free HipChat, but we're going to let you try HipChat Plus with everything for free. You don't even need a credit card. For 30 days, visit HipChat.com/WindowsWeekly. HipChat.com/WindowsWeekly. Click on the Start Chatting to sign up, then invite a few team members, and you will have access to everything, the entire HipChat Plus for free for 30 days. If you wish, after the trial's over, you can just it'll downgrade to the free version, and you can continue to use that. But it's so cool. I really want you to try it, and it is a better solution. HipChat.com/WindowsWeekly. Yes, they have a client for every platform, including all the mobile platforms. And for the first 100 signups, HipChat's going to extend their 30-day free trial to 90 days. HipChat, your team, your project, in sync, instantly. I can say this from my own experience. We love HipChat. And you will too. Free for 30 days. No credit card needed. HipChat.com/WindowsWeekly. Paul Thurrott, there's something on your face.
He said he got disconnected somehow. I think you guys got to call him back.
Oh, the timing is terrible. You think Joe Belfiore would ever shave his head?
Oh, goodness, no.
He's too attached to that wig.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
He got a haircut recently, but he's still...
a little mop head, mop top?
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
It's an interesting experience. I can't say it's horrible.
I don't want to look like that guy.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, who's in there with you? Oh, your son. Oh,
here are the barbers.
Your daughter and your son. Okay, who's going to wield the clippers?
All right, wait. Put this on. Somebody has to hold this.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad this is happening to somebody, not me, for a change.
What?
Stephanie's there, too?
Everyone's helping.
Well, yeah, you need adult supervision, Leo.
No, you don't. I had Lisa do mine. Oh, I guess she's a grown-up.
I don't know. We don't know. We have no one has any idea what they're doing, Leo.
Oh, Paul. Can I thank you, Paul? This is Paul Thurrott is shaving his head right now because we raised so much money in UNICEF. He pledged if we get to $60,000, he would shave his head like I did for $50. I was cheap. I sold out. Actually, I was $40.
You know, people are going to listen to this on audio and describe this as the worst episode of Windows Weekly ever.
No. Their imagination is in full force right now. And we will, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a little, editors, we're going to stop the recording and take just the haircut and put that up on our Twit Specials feed because I think everybody. Hey, what about a mohawk?
Yeah, Mark is planning a mohawk.
Your daughter's nodding maniacally. We're loving this.
They don't have the razor, right?
It's not doing anything. Yeah, mine was much...
I know what's going on here.
Mine was much faster.
Oh, someone go sign for that thing.
The doorbell's ringing.
Yeah, go get the door.
What does she have that set on? Is that a one there?
I don't know. What is this?
It's a one.
It's a one.
Okay.
Might want to use a bigger one at first and then work your way down since you're kind of tearing there.
Oh, has it hurt a little?
Yes, it's...
What do you want me to do?
Use a bigger number.
You got to turn it around. They're doing it. You got to go with the. You're going. Go with the cutting part. So he's. There's a bar. You got to get the cutting bar in there.
Yeah.
I'm getting.
This thing.
Come here, Lisa. Explain to them. So Lisa's done this, so she knows.
Lisa's now an expert.
She's now an expert.
There's a cutting bar that needs to be forward on the clippers.
Okay.
That's why it was
this
doing
is the little
thing.
Bar that's on the side.
That little bar on the side, yeah, it needs to be forward.
We've never done this before.
Where'd you get the clipper?
From a friend. Also,
is it their dog clipper?
Mary
Jo's is just loving this. Everybody's loving it. Like
you mean like, is this correct? Oops,
you know what? I
is that correct, guys? Does that look right? Does that look right, Burke?
It does.
It does. It's now armed.
You
You've taken the safety arms. Off. You can tell. Why? How can you tell?
Because it moves the lower cutting.
Drum. It moves the lower cutting bar up to the pin, the clippers.
I knew this wasn't going to go well.
Now, is it coming off now?
I don't know. Is it coming off?
Yeah. Chat room's going crazy.
Let's get this rolling.
There we go. Now we're clipping. Mary's next. Paul, don't do it. Those clippers work about as well as the bomber's clippers. Is there a safe word?
Yeah, maybe we should conclude this after the show.
No, we want to see it. No, we'll edit it out of the show. Put it as a special download.
All to its own.
We'll do a in the show. We'll do a little.
Why don't you start from the bottom?
Let's high speed it. Yeah. Right. So, editors, we could high speed this for the show, but make a special of the at normal speed. The bar is backwards. Is that right? No. Carve the Windows logo on the back of his head. Can you do that, Stephanie?
Okay, hold on one second. Is this actually working? It's not working. Try that one.
Oh, I love that sound.
Wait, there's not a plastic guard on the clipper, is there?
Is the guard off the clipper?
I don't know what's going on. I think we just... Okay, supposedly it's fixed.
Yeah, she's doing it right now. Upside down is the way to do it, right? That's how Lisa did it. Oh, look, there it goes.
Is my hair coming off?
Oh, the humanity.
Why don't you go to the... Yeah, try this side. Go over here.
Yeah, no, it did a little bit. It didn't do a lot, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
we'll send you money for a barber if you want.
Yeah, you're like tearing my hair out.
Hair was flying when you did it on me, right? Paul's about as gray as I am, too, which is great. Those are dog clippers.
How about if an adult does this for a few minutes?
Let's just...
No.
You want the bar close to the cutting head.
Now you have to go to the barber with like a disaster of a haircut.
Well, that's what I did. There were holes in my hair. She said, I think we're going to have to take it all the way down. Do you need grease? Grease the razor. This is really great. I am really enjoying this. I'm going to get some lunch.
Yeah, I'm going to get some scissors to get it started.
These are the worst clippers I've ever seen.
Paul, you have hair of steel.
He does.
I think we got all the hair out of it. It would work
fine. I have too much hair.
Yeah,
Dad.
Yeah.
And we won't for long.
Wow.
When the hair pops up after the trimmer has passed, that means something's wrong. It's not cutting. I don't think it's cutting. I think it really would cut better.
I think the sides are too short for this number two.
Oh, nice. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're already short. There's no point in going shorter.
Okay, right, go
can
ahead.
Can I do this?
Yes.
Cutting his hair.
See if this works better.
Don't cut off.
Wait, Mark, hold on.
What?
See, that took off.
Can we just leave it?
Oh, that's coming off.
Oh, ew.
Take the guard off. Take the guard off. All the way off.
It's fine. We're going to just do this because this is going to take forever.
Mohawk is the most important.
Yeah, but that hair's too short to start with. That's the problem.
Ew. You just put it right on the...
Uh-huh. Mary Jo, are you making beer right now?
Should be.
See, I think they're getting to be, other than here, like as short as this is.
I gotcha.
That's why it's not cutting much. We're going to have to go down to number one soon. Yeah,
this is not great. Kids are loving it.
They are.
But Kelly, we have to do it.
I know. You don't have to dump the hair on my hand.
Oh, you don't like that part?
No, it's gross.
Take the guard off. The guard is what's getting in the way.
Guard off?
Yeah. Everybody in the chat room says no guard.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, where's the number one?
Well, you can do it on the side if you want.
There you go. Now just cut.
Slowly. Right through.
But be careful.
Don't listen to Leo.
But be careful. Slowly. That'll work. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There it goes. Now we're doing it.
Is that too short?
No, it's fine. But, hey.
Some of the tweets are pretty good.
Mary Jo, read us the tweets as it goes.
No, not with that. No, not with that.
Do it on the side near his ear.
Yeah, not.
Wait, how do I do it on the side? Do I go up?
Just do
Mike Bass says, don't forget, leave 1% of the hair so we can say update one, we'll fix it later.
Nice.
I don't know if
it's
I should hear anything.
It's fine. Is this actually working?
Yeah.
Okay. It's taking a long time. My barber would have done this in about
Is
5 seconds.
Is there hair on the floor?
No, it's all on Kelly.
It looks nice so far.
Does it work that way?
Maybe you could dye it when it comes back, too. Like,
yeah, I was thinking about going blonde.
Hot pink.
Mine actually, mine as it's grown back, has actually turned, seems to be white.
I'll talk to Chad.
Oh, yeah, Chad. You could do it like Chad.
Well, we don't have a razor. We just have this thing.
Yeah, people who are asking how this got started, this is all about Twit's New Year's Eve special where Paul pledged to have his head shaved if they reached 60,000 in pledges for UNICEF, and they made it to 75. So he is graciously making good on his promise.
Foolishly.
Foolishly, but graciously.
But very graciously. Manfully.
And, it's the sides of the...
You know. You could do the Windows flag colors, too, when they <first. laughs> Little Windows, you know, red, green, blue thing. That'd be cool.
New hair, new sight. It's a wonderful thing.
Some people are advising you to go against the grain of the hair.
Oh, well.
Who's the teacher?
Yeah, who's saying that?
Oh, yeah. Here's a good suggestion from Stan on Twitter. Dye your hair denim in honor of the denim. Nice.
Denim. Yep.
Denim.
Nice.
I won't be getting the Zune logo, I can tell you that.
I know. We talked about that. I said, maybe you could get a tattoo, too, on the air. And I said, how about a brown Zune?
Yeah.
Remember we had the Zune guy on Windows Weekly in the studio that time?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He was good.
He was a good sport. Zach. Yeah, Zach.
Yeah, he was really good.
Do you want to do the back or worry about the back later?
Let's worry about the back later. This is already taking too long.
Okay. What about the top? What are you doing?
I don't know. Well, let's put one of these things on. Okay, Kelly, we'll let the adults handle this.
Is that a two?
I don't know what that is.
I need the one. Where's the one?
It's still pretty long.
How does it look in the back?
It's starting to look mangy. That's good.
Yeah, mangy. You're going to be all over the floor.
Yeah, I think this is a good look. I could just leave it like
that. You could leave it like that, yeah. It is something. The Clippers are not doing their job. That's the general consensus. But we will figure it out.
It takes some technique.
You may want to go, frankly, to a barber for the rest of it.
It's pretty clear to me.
Maybe I shouldn't have turned this thing so many times.
That's right.
I don't know what this does.
Okay. I think it's supposed to be like that.
Okay.
Chat room agrees you should be bald by now.
I think we can all agree.
Oh, my.
This is...
Twitter is getting into this now. Some are advising Paul to wax it.
Paul, you're a trending topic.
Woo! He is a trending topic.
Yes.
Yikes.
You
can wax it.
Wait, really?
No.
Kelly, there's not going to be any waxing.
Why?
Don't believe anything you hear on Twitter.
No, don't.
I hope you're all happy.
We're all ecstatic.
At least you're not cut. I don't think I could take blood at this point.
No, that would be horrible.
Blood's coming.
There will be blood. It's actually looking really great right now. I'm really peeved. I'm miffed.
Nobody's happy, Leah. Well, my kids are excited.
I'm bald and he looks good. It's just not right.
I think yours looks good, Leo.
Oh, thank you, Mary Jo.
I really do.
Lisa won't even touch it.
Does she make you wear a wig?
I wear a cap, a nightcap. It's cold.
You're going to be like a longshoreman after this.
Yeah, you're going to have a whole bunch of hats, special hats.
I understand now, really, why people wear hats. I get it.
You know those hats with dreadlocks in them?
I have
Rasta
some of those.
Hats?
You can have my Rasta
hat. Paul needs one of those.
I should have sent you off on New Year's Day with hats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have gotten a fez at least, right?
Yeah.
Now it looks like my hair is falling out.
Well, we got the undercoat. That's why. You have superpowers. You have hair of steel, says the chat room.
Mark, there's no reason to photograph this.
Don't worry. There are pictures on Twitter.
It. Oh, already.
Can I see it? Is it on
Snapchat? She's not crying.
No, this is just, this is not a great look.
At the end of this. You need a beer at the end.
I want to give Paul a very nice triple right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, a triple would be great.
Oh, yeah. Good. Those are Belgian so good. Triple. Those Belgian triples. Oh, man.
Maybe he needs a bourbon barrel aged after this. Ooh. Something strong.
I could probably mix that into my hair.
You could.
You look so bad now, Paul.
I thought the cat hair in my office was bad.
Yeah, this is going to be bad.
Oh, it's working now. Oh, Lord.
You're going to need a Roomba.
Oh, Lord.
It's starting to come off, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you worked your way through the undercoat, and now you're...
Don't put that there. It's a trash roll right there.
Doesn't go well in mice.
Just get it all in the front so you can see it.
So SoCal Guy says we could call this show Clippy's Revenge.
Man, Twitter's posting up an industrial grade sander and suggesting that might help.
Yep. It is kind of a rat's nest up there. Or it was.
Can I get some work on these scissors?
Wait, do you still want the scissors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
I'm asking you.
Not if it's not necessary.
I think now that we got the thick parts out, it's
good. Well, I mean, like, you could work on that side, and that could be like, kick.
No, I think
it really looks like you look homeless. It's terrible. Now.
Got a nice bald spot up here.
Yeah. Oh. You definitely go into the barber, Paul. You are.
Windows 10 logo right on that bald spot.
You know, they can shear a sheep in 30 seconds.
Right. Thank you.
So should we take off the number one or just keep going with this thing?
I would just keep going with this.
Like Leo? Yeah.
They want me to tell everybody the brand name of the clipper so they never buy it.
Yeah.
They're probably 30 years old.
It's a 30-year-old clipper.
I should have known she was going to betray me when she let us borrow this.
It's more modern than that, yeah. They're cheap clippers.
They're good for like one shave.
Good for one shave, and this wasn't it.
Why did she even have these things?
Is it pinching your hair? Are you?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Needs to be oiled.
Yeah. My hair or the?
Well, you could oil your hair, but it'd be more direct to oil the clippers. It'd be more fun to watch you oil the hair, though.
It seems like this should be coming off in big clumps.
It did on me. I mean, literally, it was a couple of minutes.
Yeah, this is taking a long time.
Yeah.
It's all how close you get that blade to adjust, like, the bar.
You got to get that blade close to the bar.
Yeah, Paul and I were joking before the show. I'm like, maybe we should talk about Spartan while you're getting your hair.
This is
actually, it's not a bad idea.
Take your mind off it, you know.
Hmm. Seen any good movies lately? Apparently, the chat room has come to the conclusion that it's actually not cutting the hair. It's just pulling it out.
Yeah, no, that's what that could be true.
Ripping it out of his head. When it grows back, though, isn't it going to itch like crazy?
Yes, it does itch a little bit. Not like crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, and it's also nice because you can kind of scratch it and it feels good. The funny thing is, listen. It's like sandpaper. You can actually hear it. Let's see. This is Wednesday, so it was 1 week ago.
Yep.
Minus a few hours.
It's grown back a lot.
Well, I got shaved on Saturday.
I see.
So this is from Saturday. But, they say, just so you know, an eighth of an inch a week. That's a half inch a month. And it would take about 4 months, 5 months to get back to where you were.
Here's a good one. Clippy, it seems like you are trying to shave your head.
You're making mistakes.
Christian. Good one, Christian.
I think if it's humiliation we're going for, this has achieved its goal. Yeah. He looks horrible. You look like a cat. Just had a bath. The bar is in the wrong location. The metal blades need to be even.
You hear that?
What?
The bar is in the wrong location. The metal blades need to be even. I don't know what that
means.
What
does that mean, even?
I don't know what that means. That's just what they're saying. There's a screw on the side that needs to be adjusted.
Yeah, I could see the sign about that. It says see instruction book, but we don't have the instruction book.
What could go wrong?
Take off the guard and just go for it, man.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. I think you're good now. It's getting there. It's doing something. There's definitely hair on that towel.
Right.
Is that working better?
Stephanie, I apologize for the prawns. But you didn't have to take it out on Paul, okay?
They weren't the best prawns ever.
Oh, they might be the worst prawns ever. Certainly strong candidates.
She's still alive and able to cook.
Well, she didn't eat them. We also had, and I'd never had this before, and it's an interesting dish, deep fat fried ravioli.
Fried ravioli can be good.
Apparently wasn't.
Yeah, that was good. Can't be.
As we're leaving, they run out the door of the restaurant with a big bag saying, you left all your deep-fried hors d'oeuvres.
We know.
Yeah, and they gave it to us.
Nice.
I was going to give them to a homeless guy, but I didn't want to kill him.
I wanted to be humane.
It would have been inhumane. When I worked at McDonald's, we tried to give the old hamburgers to the local pound, and they refused them. They said, there's not enough protein. We can't give these to dogs.
Wow.
What about a Flo-Bee? Whatever happened to the Flo-Bee? Do they still make those?
I think this is why the Flo-Bee never took off.
Right here.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Settle down.
It's looking great. I don't know what everyone's complaining about.
It's too shiny. It's too shiny is not...
The bowling ball.
I love how cruel kids are. Cruel kids. Kids are just, they just love this. It's now we're getting, you know what? I think, you could stop at this point if you wish. I don't want to stop you prematurely, but I think you've done, you know, it's clear you've, you've so ruined your hair that you've got to, you know, go somewhere and get it done now. Yeah. So I think there's no question that the head shaving, if
I think
not,
it's fair to say,
it's done.
Some professional. Work is going to be.
I can tell you right now, when you walk in the door of the barbershop, they are going to laugh.
They're going to be like, this is why you pay us. Yeah. This is why you don't do yourself.
This is so much fun. I am now enjoying this. We will speed it up, of course.
All right, it's okay. All right, guys, thank you for
Thank you, Stephanie. Nice job, kids. I hope you tweet that, Instagram that, share it with your friends, put it on Facebook. My mom was so horrified when I showed her. I did a Skype call with her, and I started with just my head, you know, just the bottom of my head. I said, Mom, I have something to tell you. And then I slowly, she screamed.
She did.
Yeah, she was not happy.
You didn't tell her about the tattoo.
I did, and I showed her that, too.
Feels nice.
Paul Theroux, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Pauly T. Yeah. You know what? Doesn't that feel good? It looks so bad.
Watch out.
It looks so horrible. It looks like the lobotomy didn't take. It's just terrible. Right. Oh,
good
Lord.
Look.
One flew over the...
ear off on the show or anything.
Oh, man. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who contributed so much to UNICEF. $75,000 with the auction and the cash. Incredible. We just, by the way, I got to tell you... Now that you've done it and you can't really get too mad, it was Dr. Mom who put us over the top with $60,000 with a fairly significant contribution. She really wanted to see this happen. So, Dr. Mom, thank you.
She was the one to put it over, wasn't she?
Yep. She said, I can't let it sit because we went home. It was under $60,000.
Right. I felt safe.
Uh-huh.
I felt safe.
Uh-huh. And by the way, if you enjoy what you've just seen... You can still.
I can't imagine why you would have.
You can still go to unicefusa.org to help the kids all around the world /twit. UNICEFUSA.org/twit. We are now up to $62,741, and you can still contribute. So thanks to everybody who is keeping those contributions coming in. I don't know when we're going to close this out, but it was such a great event. And 91 cents on the dollar, UNICEF is such a good charity. 91 cents on the dollar goes to kids all around the world with preventable, who die right now from preventable causes, low-cost methods like mosquito nets and so forth. It's a really great cause. Paul, thank you. You did that for the kids of the world, for UNICEF.
Yeah, I did it for my kids.
Yeah, your mostly, kids enjoyed
it. Yes.
But the good news is you didn't pay them to do that.
That's for sure.
I hope.
But they'll pay, Leo.
They will pay. That's great. That's really great. I know that Paul will get the rest done.
It's not just going to keep sticking up like this, is it?
Yeah, no, you actually need to go to a barber.
Yeah.
And I think there's enough left that the barber probably can salvage it without making you completely
blind. I hope this ends the debate over whether my hair is real.
Yeah. Was exactly. Yeah.
My part's not really working right.
No. Forget your part. Yep.
Oh, well.
Hey, thank you, everybody, really for a great cause. And thank you, Paul Thurrott, for...
Sorry that took so long.
You're such a good sport. Right, we'll cut it out of the big show, and we'll put a little special with a high-speed clipping. Thank you, Paul.
See what happens when you go to Petaluma, Mary Jo?
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, now I know. Don't
stay
go.
Away from Petaluma. Oh, sure, we have great beer, but the natives are restless. So you didn't go to CES, but there were quite a few announcements at CES relevant to this show. PC makers. In fact, last year, did PC makers, it seemed like last year was a little bit of a time in flux. Windows 8 had just come out a month or two before. People were not really sure what it should look like, whether it would be a touch screen, whether it would be a...
Well, all the good stuff that happened this year around licensing hadn't happened yet,
right?
So remember in February, I think they announced the Windows Phone licensees a bunch of new ones. We didn't know why at the time.
Yep.
And then in April, they announced $0 licensing, and then it made sense. And so this year, we're benefiting, or this past holiday season at least, benefiting from the, the machines that came out of that.
I also see a trend, and maybe you'll agree or disagree, but it seems that there's a trend to do to compete with Chromebooks at the $200 thereabouts price point. I'm not just talking about the HP Stream we just saw next book. There are a lot of these between $150 and $250 Windows 8.1
right.
Computers, very affordable, and people love the Stream. Are we seeing more stuff like that at CES? Or is it more high-end?
Actually, I don't, yeah. Well, we saw an HP Stream desktop computer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Again, it's like a Chromebox, right? It's like a...
Yes. Yep, yeah. Yeah, very much so. In fact, I'm almost positive that's what that's based on, is the HP Chromebox.
Yeah.
But no, I would say a lot of, I mean, we've seen some low-end machines. What we're seeing is like kind of a bump up, you know. So we see last year low-end tablets. This year, low-end tablets to support truly good pens, you know, which was one of the big questions. Every time a tablet would come out, I get an email from people, does it support an active digitizer, you know, stylus? This year we're getting those, you know. And so I think most of the machines we've seen at CES have actually been kind of higher-end devices, but I'm just looking through the list. But, there, you know, there's been some at the lower end.
I love the ThinkPad. I thought the ThinkPad X1 Carbon might be the best Windows laptop of 2014.
That's almost certainly going to be... my next laptop, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that gorgeous?
They fixed the keyboard, right?
They fixed the keyboard.
So what was wrong with the keyboard?
So last year, for some reason, they introduced a, I forget what they called it, but it was like a, it was a strip that replaced the function key. It was a touch screen kind of thing.
Oh, now.
And so it was not good.
Now it's a regular function key strip.
Right.
Yep.
The other thing they're doing is they're not just offering it in a crazy high-res display. They're also doing just a 1080p. And, you know, Windows, it's 3-5 years into this, but still doesn't look great, for a desktop user, especially on a high DPI display. So you can get a normal 1080p display in there. I think that's important, too.
What's this ThinkPad stack?
So that's for expansion. So the ThinkPad X1 Carbon supports a single cable for, expanding out to desktop components. And these work with that. And
so this could be a desktop with a monitor edition and a dock.
Yep. Yeah, you can do that today, but the new version has these new modular components, which are also reportable, so you could bring them with you.
You think you'll get the 1080p one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
there's no reason to put more pixels on the screen, especially if Windows doesn't take advantage of it, you know, in a sense.
Or it just doesn't take advantage of it well, is that, well, yeah, you know, is how right. I would say it. So
yeah, you don't want little teeny weeny icons. That solves nothing.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's
Dell,
a nice one.
The Dell, though, that new Dell XPS 13.
Yeah, that one's very interesting. I don't know if you saw this, Leo. It's,
I didn't.
So it's an XPS 13.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, I like the Dell XPSs. I think they're good systems.
Okay, so brand new form factor. It's an 11-inch device with a 13-inch screen. So there's almost no bevel at all.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Something How could it be an 11-inch device with a 13-inch screen?
Think of a MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, and think of the 1-inch bezel that goes around that whole screen.
Right.
Now think about what you could
Ooh.
Fit in there. So the only problem I have with this is I don't want a device this is small. So I thought, well, you know, they have an XPS 15, which is really neat. Maybe they'll, you know, no, the XPS 15 is just like last year's.
Yeah.
So this is a new, I'm thinking. Right. Yeah, well, but the device itself is maybe a little small.
All right.
But
a 13-inch form factor with a 15-inch screen, perfect.
The battery life thing they're claiming on this is with a non-touch screen, 15 hours. If that is really true, finally, there's a real laptop.
This
And that machine for an i5 is under $1,000.
$799.
For the i3,
yeah, right? $799 is an i3.
But that's an i3.
You get an i5, okay. I want to say $999 somewhere in there. 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigabyte SSD.
Available when?
Now, right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can buy it
How
right
about
now.
That?
That's so unusual with a,
it is.
With a CES announcement.
Well, that's by the way, that's a big difference this year. A lot of these machines are either available right now, later this month, or February. And that's not historically been the case. I have hair all over me. I'm like,
it's itchy, isn't it? Very itchy.
Yeah. Yeah, if you do get the touchscreen on that, it takes, I think, 2 hours off the battery life. And they also said it doesn't matter. The battery life isn't dependent if you have the i3, i5, or i7.
Interesting.
It's just touch versus non-touch. But I'm somebody who the battery life is a huge, huge thing for me. And so you know, when I bought the Acer S7 that I have now, I was like, okay, it says they get 7 hours or 8 hours. And I get close to that. But I really wanted 14 or 15.
Right.
I wanted something I knew I didn't have to carry the cord with me all day.
There are some detachable computers, as we're now calling them, that, you know, it's a tablet that you plug onto a keyboard base where the keyboard base has a battery in it. And I think it was the Toshiba where the tablet itself gets 7 or 8 hours by itself, or 8 or 9 hours. And then you plug it into the base and it gets 17 and a half hours of battery life.
I think I see why you lose 2 hours with the touch display, because it looks like it's only available in QHD, which is a much higher resolution, lots more pixels to push.
See, there's so many reasons not to go super high res in Windows. And so few advantages, frankly. I mean, some people might actually need it, you know, Photoshop type folks or whatever, but honestly, this is one of those areas where bigger is not always better.
It's a big price difference, too. It goes from $1,149 for the i5 with a 1080p display and 256 solid-state drive.
A big chunk of that is the solid-state drive, right?
Yeah. Well, they go to 512. It shouldn't be a big chunk. It shouldn't be $800 worth.
Yeah.
In fact, I bet I can customize and put a 512 in the i5.
Oh, but it's also an i7 versus an i5.
Yeah. That's what you're paying for, the i7. But I bet the screen is a big chunk.
On a device that is 13 inches big, super high-res display is pointless.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree. Yeah, you can't upgrade the hard drive on the littler one. You have to buy up.
That might be a temporary condition because these things are brand new and they probably just want to ship pre-built
stuff as quick. You're right. There's no BTO. You're right.
I look like a freak.
You look like a drill sergeant. You look like you're going to say, drop and give me 10, Laporte.
How do you like this guy to show up at your door late at night?
I love it.
Can I borrow your phone? My car broke down.
Everybody says I look badass. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I look like an ass. The Shield. Michael Chiklis.
Or whatever his name.
Michael Chiklis.
Chiklis.
You and I, Paul, we're the tough guys in Windows.
Yeah.
We're the toughies. Don't mess with us. All right. So there's some good new computer. I'm glad you brought my attention to this new XPS. So Dell's selling it as the new XPS 13.
Yeah. So the XPS 15 is the same design from last year.
Yeah.
The XPS 13 is brand new. So I'm hoping there's some change, you know, before a year from now, but on the bigger one. Because that's actually very interesting. It's a nice design.
Nice. Mary Jo, you're going to replace your S7?
I know. If I were in the market for one, I would think about that, but I'm not.
I'm tempted.
Yeah, you're good for a few years on that one.
Well, I have the non-Haswell. I have the third generation Intel on my. So I'm thinking, make the jump.
Okay, so
is this one Broadwell? Of the big
we should talk about the chip thing.
Intel did a lot. You know, I was so surprised. CES doesn't seem to be the place to announce new chips, but Intel did.
It was delayed. I think that was why.
Yes, it was late.
It worked out timing-wise. That's right. Nice.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about those?
Yeah. Well, I actually want people to help me understand this. So I'm trying to keep, you know, me and code names. I love them. But I'm trying to figure out all these new code names. So we know that Intel announced Broadwell, right? Right. Which is...
Well, they announced it, but they're shipping it. Yeah.
Right. They're shipping it. Or starting to, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, 33 new SKUs.
That's the successor to Haswell, right?
Yep.
But then there's another processor they have codenamed Skylake, right? Which is either late this year, if it's on time, or next year. And I don't really understand what, you know,
is that the desktop version of this? I wonder.
That's what I don't know.
We only have the mobile part.
Yeah, so a lot of these fifth generation products are super low wattage, and so obviously just aimed at mobile devices.
They're 14 nanometers? Holy cow.
Yeah, super small process.
This is the tick of the cycle, which means you're getting smaller process, which means more efficiency, less heat,
better battery life, faster. Which is fine, because honestly, I think from a performance perspective,
yeah,
we've hit a great spot. We don't need that anymore.
So Skylake then is what they call Talk, right? Which means that's the one that's faster.
Skylake is chat room saying it's a new architecture. So then would be the sixth generation, I guess.
Well, I mean the fifth generation processor desktop versions already happened. That happened this past year, didn't it?
No, Haswell's fourth gen.
Haswell's fourth gen.
Yeah. So this is a shrunken Haswell, which is the fifth gen. Is Broadwell.
Okay.
And then next, I guess, will be the Talk or I never remember which is which.
I know. Me neither. Yeah.
The other confusion here is, of course, now they have Pentium M. I'm sorry, Core M.
They have a lot more
Pentium, Celeron, and Atom processors, which are not considered part of these various processor families, you know, depending on what you're talking about. I almost feel like they have too many. Because when you, especially with the low-end devices, you know, this one has an Atom whatever. This one has a Pentium, whatever. This one has a Celeron, whatever. You know, in the old days, Celeron was low end and Pentium was high end. But now these things are all low end. It's kind of hard to figure out which is which and how they compare to each other.
Well, and bringing back the name.
They mentioned Cherry Trail came up at CES this week, which is, I guess, the successor to Bay Trail, which is an Atom system on a chip processor, right? But then there's something that comes after Cherry Trail called Willow Trail. I don't know anything about that.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, there are all these code names. I'm like,
So here we go. Laszlo says, Haswell's the Talk. Broadwell's the Tick, which is a shrink of the Haswell. Skylake is another Talk, new architecture.
By the way, that's a great thing. Lake
will be the Tick.
If you can, Mary Jo, TikTok, it's like Windows Server when they had R2 releases.
Right, okay.
There's a major release, which I guess is the Talk. And then the minor release, which is the Tick.
Talk is new architecture. Tick is reducing the old architecture.
Getting it into smaller die packages, better efficiency. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, but still, it still doesn't help with all the names. I mean,
I know.
In addition to the Core i3, 5, and 7, Pentium, Celeron, Atom. Yeah. You know, what the heck's going on there?
There's
a lot, and M, and Core M.
Right.
Yep. You know, another thing entirely.
But the new computers shown at CES for the most part are these new mobile computers are for the most part new Broadwell.
So this Ars page that you have up, or that we have linked in the show notes says that quad core versions of these chips and desktop versions of these chips are expected in mid 2015.
Right. I'll show that slide.
So for high end laptops and desktops, you'll still see Haswell processors.
Yeah, I wasn't clear if everybody's talking about Surface Pro 4 and what chip that might have, or the next MacBooks. You know, like they're saying, is it going to be Broadwell, or is it going to be something else? Are they going to wait?
If Apple comes out with that 12-inch MacBook Air, as we've been long knowing was going to happen, that probably would have happened in the fall if Intel could have made this happen in the fall. So that chip, that machine will certainly be their version of the Dell XPS 13, right? It will be the same type of machine. 12-inch screen, 12.5-inch screen, whatever, that version of the processor. Awesome battery life. It's, that's going to be that machine. Yeah, I can't keep this up straight.
I know. If you think Windows code names are hard to keep track of, try doing Intel code names.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
Yep. And it's not just, it's products, but, the chips themselves, but they're also graphics chipsets.
Right.
Right.
That vary, from chip to chip. There's all kinds of stuff.
But this, this is a good article. Ars Technica, Andrew Cunningham. They do a great job of the geekiest information. Yep. So highly recommended. Intel's staggered Broadwell rollout continues with 17 new laptop chips.
I still think the dream here, and this is true of anyone, Dell, 13-inch XPS, MacBook Air 12.5, whatever they're calling that, is as super slim as you can get, tapered so you can fit USB ports in the back but have it tapered down to nothing in the front, super low weight, high-res screens, because people seem to want that stuff. But killer battery life, but no fan. I think that's the true leap, right? It's not just battery life performance. It's having a device that never makes a fan sound, And I don't know that we're quite there, but it seems like the Core M is the point and is a step down that path. And that's going to be the huge. So I'm sure the XPS 15, 13, sorry, must have a fan. It must have a fan in it.
Yeah, I didn't read about that, but a couple people got a hands-on there, but I don't know if I read about fan or no fan.
Well, the show floor would be kind of hard to tell if it had a fan.
It would be.
But this is something I'm really sensitive to. Surface Pro 3, I love it, but that fan runs. It just runs. And I'm just sensitive to that frequency it's at or whatever, but I sit here and the thing's like, and I just, it hits my ear at exactly the right spot somehow.
Now I'm thinking I should wait for a new MacBook that would be running on this.
They're probably going to announce it.
They should be imminent. Yeah.
Yeah. Apple doesn't like to be behind everyone else.
No, typically they're not. The fact that these Dells came out before Apple is
interesting. Yeah.
And here's the here you go. So Skylake will be a 14 nanometer because it's a talk. Yep.
Okay.
Westmere was the tick. Sandy Bridge the talk. Ivy Bridge the tick. Haswell the talk.
So actually, Core M shipped last year, late last year.
Right.
And that is considered part of Broadwell.
Right.
So that must be a particularly low end, for lack of a better term, version of what has been for the past several years, Core, whatever, i3, i5, i7. So adding Core M, that thing must be lower clock, lower power, all that kind of stuff. Because those are aimed at fanless machines.
Mm-hmm. It's like Jay-Z. Just brush it off, man. So this just in, according to our chat room, Verizon has pulled all, is this right, Nokia phones from, I gotta look at that here.
They did this before when people thought they were discontinuing.
It was just
had a major announcement with Microsoft. They're not walking away from Windows.
I don't know. This, all we know is we're supposed to get denim on the Icon in early 2015, whatever that means. But this is a Windows Central story. They're saying they pulled all references to everything, even the HTC One M8, everything. They pulled all references. Huh. I don't know what that. I don't know. Verizon doesn't want to really sell Windows Phone. That's what I know.
They really are terrible.
They are awful
for a Windows Phone user. They really are. Love Windows Phone, and Mary Jo's on Verizon.
I am.
I'm just going to sign into my Verizon account, and
I'm doing the same thing. So I want to buy a phone.
See what happens.
How do you even buy a phone on this site?
I don't understand why I always have to give them my zip code, as if that's going to change everything.
I love how Verizon Wireless and Verizon are two different things. Okay.
All right.
Filter by.
Anyway, update your security profile. Oh, crap. Now I have to select.
I want to filter by color.
I have to create a name.
Windows. No, there's two Windows phones in here.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a lie.
HTC One M8.
Yeah.
And the Samsung A-Tip. So, well, but what's not in here are any Nokia phones.
The Lumias are not there.
Yeah, so I had heard that, you know, we all know that the Lumia icon disappeared from the site a few weeks back. Right. I just saw it today, and I didn't think much of it because it was an older phone. But the 928, which was a flagship on Verizon years ago, I think just disappeared from the Verizon website. And I don't. That's not them leaving Lumia. That's that thing probably just they finally got rid of them all. You know, I'm sure that was one of those cheap. You can get this thing for free. Sign up for a 2-year contract. You know, toss away phone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's my guess. That's my guess.
I have no idea. When it comes to Verizon and Windows Phone, I think we're all just perpetually guessing. And even Microsoft, I don't think, really knows what's going to come when.
You can get a BlackBerry.
Yay.
So there's the HTC One Windows version. It's pretty far down, the Ative.
Yep. Yeah. It's in there, though.
It's in there. So that's a lie. You lie. You think they would just go check the website? Come on.
I don't think anyone's lying. I think that Verizon is evil, and we need to point this out on a regular basis.
Constantly.
So it's okay.
Constantly. And you know, they may buy AOL, which would be interesting.
Which, by the way, they deserve AOL. Please.
They denied that, didn't they? They denied that rumor.
No, I think they said, well, we might be talking about something.
Oh, really?
It might be a joint partnership.
That would be weird.
Not that these things haven't happened before.
True. Very true.
Okay, everybody texted me. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this? They said Microsoft's taking Internet Explorer out.
Oh.
Yep.
Of.
That's not true.
Windows 10. It's gone. No, it's true. Nope. I saw it on Twitter. It's true.
Okay. Oh, man. I have so much to say about this one.
I see.
I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah. Well,
what's happening here, Joe? Set him straight.
So what is this Spartan browser? What the heck is that? What is that?
Okay. So right before Christmas, on Twitter, a bunch of us were talking, and a couple of guys who do a podcast in France, Live Tile, I think it's called, said, hey, did you guys hear Microsoft's building a totally new browser? It's not Internet Explorer. And we all kind of went, oh, yeah, right. Okay. Then I started asking some of my contacts who have been really accurate on Windows about this. And they said, yeah, it's true. We're building a browser at Microsoft that is not Internet Explorer. But when you dig a little deeper, what it is, I think, is still a variant of Internet Explorer, but they're not going to call it Internet Explorer. It's still going to have the Chakra JavaScript engine in it, which IE does. And it's also still going to have the Trident rendering engine, not WebKit.
That's what makes it Internet Explorer. It's the engine.
Right. It's those two things.
It's the GUI caramel center.
So you could change the name.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the browser.
There's going to be some different things, supposedly. Like Brad Sams at NeoWin back in September said he heard that Microsoft was going to change Internet Explorer so that it could handle extensions. And it would be more like Google Chrome and more like Firefox. What we didn't know at the time when he wrote that was Microsoft is going to call this a new browser. We thought that was just IE12. But it doesn't seem to be that. It seems like Microsoft is building a browser codenamed Spartan that they're not going to call IE, that is going to have features that are more like Google Chrome and Firefox. But here's the part that like 99% of the web got wrong. They're not killing IE. They're still going to have Internet Explorer because so many businesses are dependent on IE.
Wait a minute. You're saying now I'll have two browsers on my...
Well, we already have two, right?
We already have two in Windows 8.
So now I have four because I'll have two versions of Sparta, two versions of IE. This is great news.
You can never
this
have too many rendering engines.
Let's get Sleep Near out and put it on there too. What the hell?
No, here's my guess what's going to happen. And this is me just speculating at this point. I think Microsoft will take this thing called Spartan and make that the browser. The single browser on Windows Mobile. So that'll be the browser on small tablets and on Windows Phone. Then on the desktop version of Windows 10, I think you'll probably have a choice of the two browsers, IE and Spartan. That's my guess what's going to happen. But I keep hearing we're going to see Spartan on January 21st during their Windows 10 reveal. I don't know if we'll get it in the build. It may not be quite ready yet, but we're going to see it, I think. Mm-hmm. So then we're going to have a better indication of what is this.
I would think they would really show IE? Off.
Yeah, they have to show it. I think they have to. It's going to be a key piece of the mobile SKU, I would think. So I think they've got to show it to us.
Yep. Show me the browser.
Yeah. And then, you know, this week there's been, first it was Boy Genius Report. And I think there's also a rendering on Reddit. And now Neowen has a story. Brad Sams has a story up where they're all showing things that they say, this is Spartan. So there's screenshots.
I would take Neowen's report to be the correct one.
There's mock-ups, there's screenshots. I have not seen Spartan, so I can't tell you. I know which one is Spartan, but I ran the Boy Genius report screenshots past a couple of my sources, and they said
that. And after the laughing commenced.
they were like, no, that's not it.
It looks like something that would be on my Fisher-Price first PC.
Yeah, it didn't look good. It didn't look good. But the one thing that was very interesting to me in the Boy Genius report was they said Microsoft's going to integrate Cortana right in so that you could say to Spartan, go to Facebook, and it would open the Facebook page.
That
doesn't surprise me if that's true. I don't know if it's true, but I would think that's the direction they're going. And back to the very start of our show, we said Microsoft has to show Windows users what we're going to get that the other people on iOS and Android are not. Maybe that's an example of what it looks like to have a service that's integrated on Windows that's not going to be available in the same way on iOS and Android. Just a guess.
Okay.
It'd be kind of cool, I guess.
I can dig it.
I can't see me sitting here in my apartment going, go to Facebook. I don't know. I think I would still just kind of surf to Facebook.
I don't like people who talk to things, you know. But what those people use, like, their phones like a walkie-talkie, and they have those, you know, hey, what Bob, I'm over at the...
Supports, though, is the notion that Sparta would be more like Chrome.
Yeah.
Well, you can at least talk to Chrome and Sparta. Hey, by the way, just to be fair to Windows Central... They didn't say all Windows phones were gone on the Verizon site. They said just the Lumias, and that is the case.
That's fair. That is the case. Right. But the distinction here is that the only Lumia that mattered was gone weeks ago. The only thing that's changed is the older 928 has gone now. But that, like I said, that probably is just a factor of it selling out. You know, it's an old phone.
Friendly Oklahoma in our chat room says he talked to Edward at Verizon, who said, we are waiting on the manufacturer to start manufacturing and restocking again. That would be
Microsoft. Which is better than we're waiting on Windows 10 to launch in September 2015.
Yes. I'd agree with that. All right.
We would have made them, but we closed that factory in India. Sorry about that.
Let me show the image. I should have while you were talking about it. Although, browser.
The Neowen one is the one to go with.
Is that this?
Although, actually, right there, that's probably pretty
accurate. Look Chrome-ish.
Yeah, it looks very Chrome-ish.
Yeah, Neowen built a mock-up based on some things they say they've seen.
Oh, I see. This is a mock-up, not a...
Right. The other one from Reddit is from some anonymous person who says he is on the test team at Microsoft. And we don't know if that's a real person or what that is that he's showing us there. If it's real, fake, we don't know.
Maybe it's Cortana.
Maybe.
Posting on Reddit.
Yeah.
She's become sentient.
And good news, but not news, Windows 7 and 8 can do
updates. Oh, actually, before we get to that, I didn't link to it for some reason, but Intel at CES announced something called a compute stick.
What is that?
Windows? If you're familiar with Windows to Go, this is a way to install Windows Enterprise on a USB stick. And then bring it from computer to computer so you can use it wherever. It sounds like a great idea. It actually is pretty terrible, but this is not that. And so this is a $150 HDMI dongle that includes an Atom-based PC right on the dongle. So it's a Atom processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of eMMC storage, USB and micro SD expandability, micro USB for power. And you plug it into any HDMI-compatible display, and it becomes your, you know, that thing's the computer. So you can have a wireless keyboard with it, wireless mouse. And it's Windows 8.1 with Bing, so it's the consumer version.
And so that thing is, and so there's zero cost because it's
Yeah, that's actually not a terrible idea. I mean, if you compare this to those HP Stream desktops that are coming out, or any small form factor PC home theater type thing, I mean, yeah, it's kind of cool. Now, the problem with HDMI today is that it doesn't provide power.
Right.
And I think now, given the rise of these dongles, Chromecast and the other streaming sticks, I'm hoping that there's a future version of HDMI that adds
that functionality. Well, there is. It's called MHL, and it, it's been out for a while, but most people don't put it on their TVs.
Yeah.
I
noticed that will make a big difference.
Yeah, and I have an MHL HDMI port on my my Onkyo receiver. Okay. But if you notice, there is a micro USB connector on this, and
it's
that's
one of both. Yeah, so
that's how they power the Chromecast. Same thing; they just plug that into a USB port. And many TVs have USB ports, so powered USB.
Yeah, and it's usually right next to the HDMI. Yeah. So you have a little cable. It's, yeah, it's not bad.
Simple solution.
But you understand it would be nice just to
Have I have a Roku stick that is MHL based, so it doesn't need power. You just plug it into an MHL US. But the problem is that that's even though the standard exists, I don't think a lot of people. Have implemented it.
I'm just really, I'm really looking forward to checking this thing out because Windows to Go never kind of really took off in my mind. And the problem with Windows to Go is that Windows to Go is not a computer on a stick; it's an OS disk on a stick.
Right.
So you have to plug it into
a
PC.
You have to boot it up, and it
looks at the hardware in the PC and it installs the right drivers.
Yeah.
If you're using the same PC every day, the second and third and fourth time you use it, it's great. But the first time you use it, it takes forever because it has to find all the hardware. So if you're moving back and forth between devices, it's actually not all that great. But, I mean, this shows you how cheap you can get Windows on a, like a little – it's basically everything except keyboard, mouse, and display.
It's, you know, the Raspberry Pi, $35, you know, processor. That's ARM. But, I mean, we've seen Android sticks like this, too. This is this is really the benefit. And I'm sure, you know, with a 14-nanometer processor, you could probably process. You could probably do this, too, with Intel. And so this is just – this is where it's all going. Tiny.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that form factor is just one of many. I mean, the Internet of Things, you know, your dishwasher could be running Windows. You know, I mean.
I can't wait, Leo.
Can't wait.
What do you mean it blue screened? I can't. How do
right
I hit
in the soak cycle? Yeah, I don't want a washer and dryer with a Control-Alt-Delete buttons. Office for Android tablets. The preview has been extended again. We still don't have Office. Touch first Office for Windows, but boy, we got it on Android and iOS.
Yeah.
If you have KitKat, you got to have KitKat.
Or better.
Yeah, KitKat or Lollipop now.
Right.
Both you can have. And before, if you signed up for Office on Android preview, you had to get on a waiting list and not everybody could get it. And now if you go to the Google Play Store and you look for Microsoft preview of Word, Excel or PowerPoint, you can just automatically download it. No strings attached.
Nice.
Yep. And the final version, supposedly early 2015. Another one of those early 2015 things.
Cool.
Just two quick things on this. One is it's ARM only because Android runs on Intel too. So if you have an Intel tablet, it doesn't work.
Yep.
The other big thing for me was that when I bought a Nexus 9, not specifically for this purpose, but knowing that Microsoft would be putting out all these great tablet apps. And right after I got it, Office Preview came out. I thought, great, I can run it on the Nexus 9. It didn't work. And so now it does work on the Nexus 9. They're supporting a lot more devices now, too.
We better move along. It's almost 1 o'clock. That shaving just took a lot of time.
Yeah, shaving just nosedived the whole show.
OneNote supports password-protected regions. That's good.
Easy enough. OneNote Modern, I should say. But yeah.
Which Windows phone? Here's a riddle for you. Which Windows phone model saw the most new app installs over Christmas?
This is a weird one because you have to really think about what the data is telling us. And this is the guys from AdDuplex who roughly measure Windows phone usage, you know, which models are the most used each month by looking at data they get from ads and apps. And it's a pretty good way to measure it, right? But this is specifically looking at Christmas Day and that giant jump that you see in new app installs because people have just gotten new phones for Christmas. And the funny thing is, the number one phone is not a Lumia. It was the Blue Win HD, which is kind of a mid-level phone. It competes with the Lumia 830. I believe it's only sold unlocked. You can get it on Amazon probably for under $200, $200 roughly.
Wow.
It's a great phone, you know, for the price. It's a great, you know, but the difference between app installs on this device and all the other ones is significant. I mean, of course, every single other device was a Lumia, but I mean, it was interesting that this one came in number one.
The Blue, I don't even remember talking about the Blue Win HD.
Yeah. It's a nice phone.
By more than 2-1.
I know, it's crazy. But you know, the other thing I'd look at in this list, if you look at the devices, 630 and 635 are really the same phone. 735 and 730 are the same phone.
Okay, so you can add some of these together. Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, and obviously when you add up all the Lumias, what you get is 95% of all app installs were in fact on.
Now, wait a minute. This is growth, though. This is not totals.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very hard to understand. This is day-over-day growth. So, in other words, what we're doing is comparing December 25th to December 24th, right? Because people get the new phones. So that,
and there was almost 110, more than 110% growth.
So it isn't, right. In other words, we're not suggesting
it's
that.
It's not the number one phone.
No, but a significant number of those things were sold for Christmas, I guess.
They were selling, this was part of the, maybe part of the Microsoft Christmas thing. They were selling in the Microsoft store unlocked for $120.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. There you go.
Sales work. Who knew?
Sales. Nokia. Oh, first the Yes Billy 50. Oh, 5S.
They really need to get better news.
Yes Billy 5S. You like it?
Well, we haven't seen it, but it's just announced. It's another 830 alternative mid-market. 5-inch screen, which I think is important. 5S name, which, you know, is probably on purpose.
It's kind of sad. Really?
Yeah, it looks okay.
It's nice looking. Looks like a 5S.
LTE. I guess the other Billy models, I think it was 4 and 4.7, did not have LTE capabilities, which I didn't know. It's still, you know, it's a low-end Snapdragon processor, you know, kind of a mid-level device. It's like it's 720p, not 1080p, which is fine.
At that size, it's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Nokia 215. It's Microsoft's cheapest phone yet. Looks like it's cute, too. It looks like one of those little Nokia candy bars.
That's exactly, yeah.
Is it running Windows Phone? No.
No, it's running Kin.
It's the Kin.
It should be.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. It runs S30, the Symbian.
Oh, it's S30, so it's Symbian.
Yeah.
Microsoft got Symbian, too.
It's, you know,
they got this line, yeah. Yeah.
Right, they get the line of feature phones. So this is $29, and it comes preloaded with Opera Mini browser, right? Bing Search. What else? It has like a bunch
Facebook's
of things. It doesn't have
there.
WhatsApp. No WhatsApp.
There's a camera.
Facebook, is in there. Facebook Messenger. It's got a camera.
Wow.
It's got a flashlight app.
So this is the Kin 2. You're right.
Well, it's the latest of the Nokia candy bar phones. I mean, they're going to keep using that brand on those phones, right? Because
and it's
in the markets
it's for the
where
developing
sells.
World.
Oh,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's
right.
For,
I mean, they know
dual SIM.
Nokia to them is phone. It's fine. Yeah.
Right. You know, like you can go between 1 month between battery charges, I think.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So it's definitely a feature phone, and it's made for people who may not always have
this
access
would be
to
a
power.
A great kid phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a beautiful little phone. I mean, the days of standalone phones, the days of standalone MP3 players, they're kind of over, right? In developed nations, obviously. But it's hard not to look at this thing and think, this is kind of cool.
You put it in the glove compartment, you know?
Yeah.
Emergency phone.
We don't know if we're getting it here, though, right? We know it's coming to other countries, but I don't.
Yeah, it's never going to come here.
And finally, as long as we're on Windows Phone, what's happening with denim?
Yeah, this was, we haven't had Windows Weekly in a while, but at the end of December, we found out from Microsoft that they were rolling out denim to more phones. Lumia 520, the 720, the 1320 in China, they were all getting denim. And then Joe Belfiore tweeted that we long-suffering Icon users on Verizon would be getting denim. And also, finally, Windows Phone 8.1, which we still don't have, by early 2015. So denim's in a staggered rollout. It's supposedly, all of us will get it this by early 2015, whatever that really means. But yeah, it's cumulative, so we'll get everything we haven't gotten to date. So we'll get Windows Phone 8.1, the update, and the firmware, the denim firmware. And what was the other firmware that we didn't get? We're way behind the times on the Icon, sadly, which is a flagship phone.
You must be happy, though, because you're an Icon user.
I am, yeah. But I still don't have it yet. I'm not going to count my chickens yet.
Yeah. Don't count your denim.
Your chickens.
I'm not counting my denim chickens.
If you were going to count your chickens, you should put on some denims first.
That's right.
They're messy, messy birds. Finally, before we get to the back of the book, Sony has sold 18.5 million PlayStation 4s. The Xbox One number is...
Do you have a cricket sound thing on that soundboard of yours? Is there a whistling wind kind of sound we could make?
I'm a tumbling tumbleweed.
I think the big number for Sony is that they're basically selling 2 million of these things a month, and that between the week before Thanksgiving and the end of the year or the beginning of January, they sold 4.1 million, I think was the figure, which is amazing. I don't mean to be, you know, condescending about this per se, but I don't understand the appeal of PlayStation 4 at all. Like, I don't kind of get it. And this thing has just gone gangbusters. And the weird thing about it from the Microsoft side is that the Xbox One has outstripped the 360 and the original Xbox. It's the fastest selling Xbox of all time. There's no doubt about it, even though we don't have the exact figures yet. But it's just that Sony is doing so much better. I think we don't have the exact numbers, but it's pretty clear that they have basically just extended their lead over Microsoft the entire year, which is amazing. It just doesn't make sense to me. But it appears to be the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of PS4s, Leo.
It's a lot. Nothing wrong with that. We still have our Xbox One. Hey, let's get to the back of the book. The stuff that we wait for. Beer, picks, software, code names, enterprise, the works. But before we do, let's talk about the best way to hire in business today. If you're a small or medium business, if you're in HR and you're responsible for getting the new employees in, you got to know. In one way, it's easier than ever to hire because of online job boards. But in another way, it's kind of challenging because which job board's right? There. How about what if you could post to 50-plus job boards with one click of the mouse, huh? ZipRecruiter, my friends. It makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Posting your job, not just in one place, but in all, everywhere. 50-plus job boards and social sites and Craigslist and LinkedIn and Twitter, all with one click. You'll find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. You post once. You watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. And that's another thing. You're not going to get calls and emails as you would if you put it in the newspaper. You don't have to worry about that. ZipRecruiter takes all of the applications, collates them, makes it easy for you to quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. We've used ZipRecruiter, and I couldn't be happier with it. So easy. Find out why ZipRecruiter's been used by over 250,000 businesses, including Twit. Right now, try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. If you're the one responsible for doing all this hiring, you really need to make it easier. ZipRecruiter, I don't think I have to tell you that. ZipRecruiter.com/windows, 4-day free, waiting for you right now. Look at all the big businesses and small that have used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Something happened to Paul in this show.
I think I have Jerry Seinfeld's hair.
you look manly. What do you got for your? Should we start with a tip of the week?
Sure. You ever see the first Friday the 13th movie? I think the kids here look like this.
Freddy got to him.
Kind of patchy and
yeah,
gonna come jumping out of a lake.
Yeah.
So I wrote an article today about my decision to buy a new Windows phone, even though we don't have any new flagships in the market, and why I picked the one I pick and yada, yada, yada.
Oh, I want to hear about this. Yeah.
But the part I wanted to talk about was, you know, in the United States, we don't buy smartphones, by and large, like people do in other parts of the world. You know, we usually do the contract thing.
Right.
And that's starting to change. You know, T-Mobile has been a big pusher of getting, you know, getting us off contracts and buying things outright. And, you know, we live in kind of the mortgage society or whatever. But I think for myself going forward, at least, and I, you know, I'd recommend this to people when they can afford to do it, is to kind of get off of that contract system. If you think about like a traditional contract, you're allegedly paying part of the fee for the phone with every month's bill. But the problem is if you go past 2 years, you're still paying that fee even if you have already paid off the phone. You have no way of knowing that. It's not part of the bill. And so obviously AT&T and other companies have programs like Next where you can add amounts of money to the bill every month. You know, T-Mobile does that as well. I think it's important that we understand what we're paying. And if possible, to kind of pay that thing up front and get these things unlocked. So A, so you can move from carrier to carrier. B, so that if you travel to other parts of the country or other parts of the world, you can buy one of those pay-as-you-go SIMs and do your stuff that way. These are all things that are not possible if you're on an on-contract phone with locked into a wireless carrier. I feel like these contracts we have are kind of like contracts with the devil in a sense, because wireless carriers literally are evil. But you know, they're obviously very much set up to disadvantage the consumer. And I think we are going to just hit this. I think this is the way that we're going finally. But it's something I've just basically resolved for this year that I'm just going to buy. I'm going to buy these things. I'm not going to add this stuff to my bill, hidden or explicitly. I'm just going to buy these things outright.
Yeah, that's one thing that has changed a little bit is that they now you pay the full price, but they just amortize it into the bill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Used to be they would kind of hide the amount. You know,
literally would hide it, literally, yeah. And that's the problem. I don't think people understand, you know, what it is they're getting, and I think that, you know, when you buy something outright, it gives you the portability option. I could go to T-Mobile right now and say, well, I've got this phone. I'm going to use it on your plan, and because you offer a better deal, if you have a GSM phone in particular, that's a little more viable, depending on which bands it supports and so forth.
Nowadays, with LTE, if you get an unlocked LTE phone, you could pretty much use it on any carrier.
Okay.
That's kind of nice. Yeah.
The one I bought is not an LTE phone because it's an international GSM phone. It doesn't support AT&T LTE anyway. Maybe it supports T-Mobile. I'm not sure. But honestly, I've been using these phones for a long time. I use a lot of international devices. The 735, the 830, the 535 that I have are all international versions. So it's HSPA Plus, which is what we might call 3.5G. Honestly, for day-to-day use, I don't think it matters at all. Most of the time, I mean, I agree. Home, so I'm on Wi-Fi a lot of the time. It doesn't matter. I'm not downloading video files on the go. I mean, who cares?
I get amazing T-Mobile speeds on HSPA Plus because no one uses T-Mobile.
Yes. And if I was a normal person, and I'm not, right? So in other words, I have three phones. I have three lines. It's expensive. And I have one of each platform, you know, so I always have like an Android phone on one, iPhone on another, and Windows phone. But if I was a normal person and had one phone, I would go to T-Mobile right now. That would be my choice.
Me too.
And you'd save a lot of money. And, you know, depending on where you live and where you travel to, if you do travel, I think it could be an excellent experience. But I don't mean to say I'm stuck on AT&T. At least I'm not on Verizon. And AT&T does have great access around the country.
They actually may have better speeds overall. That's usually what people say. It's just kind of geographically dependent.
Exactly. Yeah.
What did you get?
You may live. Well, I got a Lumia 930.
Oh, that's like the icon, right? That's the icon.
Yeah, this is the international version of the icon. It's the GSM version of the icon is the way to think of it. And, you know, when the icon came out, in my review, and I went back and reread it, you know, what I basically said was this is the greatest Windows phone ever made. If I was on Verizon, I
would use
it in a
heartbeat. Better than the 1520 or just not so huge?
I just find the 1520 to be too big.
Yeah.
It's too big.
It's a more compact.
Awkward. You can't use it one-handed. You kind of fumble-handed a lot because it's so, you know, it's tall, so it kind of flips over.
Right.
Too much for me.
So the 930, good. And you got it at Expansys USA,
it was on
where
sale.
I get my phones often, my unlocked phones.
Yep. Yeah, I buy a bunch of phones from them. I
We're both very happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Software pick of the week. I like the name.
I can't remember if I've ever picked this one before, but Twitium for Windows and Windows Phone was just updated. This is a Twitter app. It's a universal app, or at least has universal licensing. So if you buy it on Windows Phone or in Windows, you get it on the other platform as well. So it's not free, but it's only $2.99. It's a great app. It does basically everything you'd ever want. In the past, I kind of didn't really go toward Twitium because it was a modern app on Windows, and I didn't full screen or snap to me was not very interesting. But now with Windows 10, you can run these things on the desktop. You know, MetroTwit, the desktop app I was using for years, is no longer supported. And, you know, it's been hard trying to find a replacement for that. But having one that works consistently across the different platforms takes advantage of the on-screen real estate if you want to use it and all that kind of stuff. It's a great app. And so if you look, a lot of people aren't really looking for a Twitter app per se. I mean, Twitter obviously makes an official app.
How's the Twitter app on the official app on Windows? Is it pretty good? Windows Phone?
It's okay. On Windows Phone, it's acceptable because when you have, if you think about a phone screen, pivot from view to view, it makes a lot of sense. The Twitter app on Windows desktop, the Metro app, doesn't take good advantage of the on-screen real estate, in my opinion. See his hair? Look, Seinfeld.
Seinfeld hair.
See? Look at it. That's my head right there. Well,
my head's this actually fatter. Looks very similar to the Twitter app, on at least on other platforms. Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Tweetium, $2.99. Cross-platform.
But you have to have Windows Phone 8.1 to run it, right?
Oh, that's a good question. It could be.
Let's see what it says.
We'll say left there if that's true.
See what it says here.
Yep, you do. You're right.
I want to try it, but I...
You're on an iPhone. Get on the dev preview.
I know. I could do it on the dev preview.
Don't do the dev preview.
Listen, aside from Leo, it's been mostly good results.
Aside from me... Yeah. I have a 1520 somewhere that Microsoft sent me. I have to put my unlock it, put my stuff in it.
Yeah.
Enterprise pick of the week for Mary Jo Foley.
Yes. Enterprise pick of the week is something called Delve Boards. So if you remember what Delve is, it's for one thing, it's Satya Nadella's favorite app we heard. Yep. The way Microsoft describes it is Flipboard for Office 365. So it's a search app that lets you aggregate your content and present your content in the form of cards for Office 365. Right now, Delve is in the midst of being rolled out to all Office 365 business customers. The rollout started at the end of last year, and it's continuing into this year. People who are on the first release get it first, but then everybody's going to be getting it fairly soon. And today, Microsoft said, we're adding a feature to Delve called Boards. And I don't use Pinterest, but everybody I've seen described says, it's Boards on Pinterest. That's what it is. Yeah. And is...
Are you referring to that service called P-Interest?
P-Interest. As Paul Thurrott calls it, P-Interest.
Yes.
Also known as Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And Boards let you take collections of content and kind of group those together so that it's easier to find things and for people to kind of come back and reference the boards. This is going to be added to all of the Delve installations as well. And I think probably on the same schedule or roughly thereafter. So yeah, you've got now Delve, which is like Flipboard with Pinterest combined, but it's a business app.
I like this actually.
I think it makes sense. You know, it's hard to find this kind of information, and why not make it more fun and easier, a nicer presentation?
On a side note, I'm looking at the Office blog, and they have a nice little video, which they've posted on YouTube.
Yes.
Do you think it's a little embarrassing for Microsoft to have to put videos on YouTube?
Nah, not the new Microsoft. They don't care. People are.
Yeah. Mobile first, Leo. Mobile first.
Mobile first, cloud first.
YouTube solved it. Why not use YouTube?
Right.
Is MSN video still a thing?
I don't know. I think it is.
Everybody uses YouTube for their videos, and it's just like, wow, I guess Google won.
Yeah.
I guess they won that one anyway. Code name of the week?
Maybe you guys can help me pronounce this. Rigel, I think, is the code name. It's a constellation. Exactly right.
Like the planet or whatever. Yeah.
Right. I've heard it pronounced both ways with a hard
Star Trek term.
It's the GIF of constellations.
Okay. It is. Yeah, Rigel or Rigel, depending how you'd like to pronounce it.
I think it's Star Trek, they pronounce it Rigel.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm
it's
thinking
Orion's
of
brightest star. if you're wondering what it is.
Ooh, it's in the belt.
Yes. And what it is in the Microsoft ecosystem is the new code name for Parature. And Parature is a part of Microsoft Dynamics platform. It's a company that they bought last year that was based in Herndon, Virginia. And what they do is customer care. So that is a very nice complement to Microsoft CRM. Parature, the new release that came out today, is adding a lot more customer self-service kinds of features. It has 30 new features or more in total. And it also is expanding availability to many more countries and now is available as well in 10 languages. So Microsoft bought this company. They took it. They integrated it deeply into their own CRM portfolio. It looks like Microsoft's own CRM online in terms of how it works, the user interface, how it's presented to you in your dashboard. And now it's available in more countries and it's a true part of the family. So it used to be called codenamed Phoenix, and then they changed the code name to Rigel. So that's what rolled out today, January 7th, is Parature, aka Rigel.
And the internet pronounces Rigel.
Names.com.
What?
This is how the Rigel.
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 No, see, it's also Rigel. No. I swear to God.
Rigel.
I know from watching classic Star Trek that it's Rigel.
Rigel.
Do we have the correct pronunciation of
no,
your
you don't.
Name?
No, you don't. Rigel.
It's not Nigel.
Nigel.
It's Nigel.
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 My name is, I'm a Nigel? Nazgul.
Nazgul.
My name is Nigel.
Nigel.
No.
Kong and Kodos are from Rigel 7. That's the Simpsons.
Yes.
Finally, Trois Dames, la fiancée, Pinocchio.
Oh, you pronounced it so much better than I would.
This is a beer? What is
it's
this?
It's a beer.
Wow.
Trois Dames is the name of the brewery.
Three
from
ladies. Yeah.
Yes. They make a lot of really interesting beers that combine wine barrels or even wine grapes. As in this case, they took
Before we get too far into this, could I just ask you a question?
Yes.
1,000 unique check-ins on Untapped? Seriously?
This was my 1,000.
Let me just give you an idea of how big of a blowout this is. I have 181 unique check-ins.
And he checks in all the time. I know. I drank beer with him. He's like obsessive.
He's not as obsessive.
1,000.
This is Mary Jo's 1,000th beer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it was.
No.
On Untappd.
This is her 1,000th.
My 1,000th unique.
No, that's true. Exactly. She may have had more beers, but this.
Yeah, I have. She's had a lot
I've
more.
I've had one
that.
Or two
that's
more.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've tasted a lot of different beers.
Your face should be the silhouette that is the logo for Untappd.
You know, when I checked in my 1,000th unique, I got a special tweet out from Untappd. They said, hey, congratulations.
I assume it was also at least an achievement or whatever they call those things.
I got a badge. My
Did
badge
you?
Said extraordinary.
You must be. There can't be a lot of competition at that lofty level.
Oh, there are. A lot of my friends on Untappd are into their 5,000th unique.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nothing to be proud of. At this point, it's a problem.
You know, that's,
but
that's
it didn't take me a year, guys. This took me a while. Like, this took a few years.
Oh, no. We know, get you that you're dedicated. I didn't mean to suggest otherwise.
Yeah. No, and you can check in taste. You don't have to check in a whole beer. Like, if I'm at a beer tasting, I'll check in, like, 12. And then I get a badge saying, slow down, take it easy.
You're really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The dubious badges. I see you've checked in 5 beers in 15 minutes at the same place.
You might want to slow down.
You should go
you
home
want
now.
To stand up and go for a walk.
Wow.
But yeah, this was my 1,000th, which was a great one. I was at Rattle and Hum, of course, and they had this on tap. And it's a really nice beer because it's a Saison that combines a regular Saison with white Pinot Gris grape juice. So it really gives it a really good flavor, like really freshens it up. So it's a Saison that has white grape flavoring in it. And it was really good, I have to say. Everything I've had from Trois Dames has been really good if you ever get a chance to try any of their beers.
All right, there you go. Trois Dames, fiancé.
Congratulations, Mary Jo.
Thanks.
I'm shaking
I felt
my
proud.
Fist at you from...
Paul has no hair, Mary Jo has 1,000 beers. Who wins the internet? I give you Mary Jo Foley. Wow. Fun show. Paul, thank you for being so upstanding.
He was a good sport.
Such a good sport. You shaved it for the UNICEF.
It takes a line. My kids, you know, they never do anything right.
That's all right. It's just, No. It's great.
I loved it. They were laughing.
It was fun. It was really fun.
I told you, they took like a really discomforting glee in my, you know.
No, it's normal. It's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal. My kids do the same thing. You'll find Paul currently at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, soon to be Therot, two R's, two T's, dot com. Therot.com. When is that going to open?
Last day at Supersite, it's going to be a week from Friday.
Will Therot be immediately ready, or?
Yeah, it will be probably the next day, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Mary Jo Foley stays so far at Ziff Davis's pages. That's her All About Microsoft column, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And we get together every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC, to talk Windows. And it's the show you must listen to if you're a Windows fanatic or you want to know more about Windows. It is the best. And I do say so myself. You can get on-demand versions at twit.tv/ww. Paul's marveling at the feeling.
I know. He's
I'm thinking Lumia Orange. My hair.
You can also subscribe in your podcatcher or in one of the Twit apps. And, you know, there's lots of ways to get it. There's a great, at least one, I think two Twit apps for Windows Phone. Dimitri Lealin has done a beautiful job. But I think there's a couple others, too. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Congratulations, Paul. On Windows Weekly.